is up, Hooped Nation? This is Eddie Aparicio and my co-host Anthony Tuan Corral, and we are Buzzer Beaters. Welcome to episode 53, and this is a podcast that's brought to you by GremlinsMedia.com. You can find us at GremlinsMedia.com, as well as any popular podcast outlet you can think of, such as YouTube, Google, Spotify, Apple, Pandora, X, Facebook, you name it. You just go ahead and find us, type in GremlinsMedia.com or Buzzer Beaters potentially, and then you can go ahead and find us. This is your first time. Hey, you know, we said it last week. Where you been? Because we've been on, this is our 53rd episode, so we are now over a year, and we are definitely getting closer to our age, Tuan. So
yeah, not good.
Yeah, so we are about, I was going to go about an hour and a half now. I'm going to say no more than an hour and a half, because I used to say an hour, and now we're not doing that, especially with pre-draft coverage that we're going to go ahead and do continue this week. So we're going to go ahead and go over a couple of topics this week, mainly going to be just the NBA Finals. We're now going to have Game 6 tomorrow, Thursday, and then we're going to go ahead and continue our draft coverage, and we're going to go ahead and last week we talked about the Pacific. We talked about the Central, the Southeast divisions, and this week we're going to go ahead and go with the Atlantic, and then also the Southwest Conference and Northwest divisions of the Western Conference. I've been saying conference, but these are all divisions, right? Atlantic is a division, Southwest is a division, Northwest is a division. So, but anyway, before we go ahead and get started, dude, what has been going on with you, Tuan? Anything new and exciting on your end of the floor, man?
I want to start with wishing you, I mean, I know it's belated, but wishing you and all the dads out there happy Father's Day over the weekend.
Yeah.
I got to spend some time with my brother. My father spent some time with my other brother, so all good.
Oh, okay.
So I was with my brother and my family and his family, had a nice meal, hung out at the house, all good, so that was good.
Was that your house or his house?
My house.
Okay.
I've been, and you'll see it soon, Eddie. I've been, I mentioned my mom passing away. I've been building this little bar, been putting it together kind of in honor of my mom. And, with my brother on Father's Day, we were able to kind of, it's almost done. So we were able to enjoy it a little bit and just spend some time there. So that was good. My brother though, he's from Daly City. And for those in the Bay Area that know, Daly City is significantly cooler than everywhere else in the Bay Area. San Francisco and Daly City are cooler. So for those of you that, you know, think you're coming to San Francisco in the summer and you're getting a heat wave, think again, because that rarely happens. Especially after about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you need a jacket. I don't care what the day looked like, you're gonna need a jacket.
Yeah, and, hey, Tuan, before you get on to something, I wanted to bring up something. So, you know, you that game Trivial Pursuit, right?
Yes.
An old time game, man. I mean, the new school probably has no idea what that is, bro. All right. But anyway, one of the questions I got, bro, is, and this surprised me, it said the foggiest place in the world. And I said, of course, London, right?
Yeah, that's what you think of.
The answer was Skyline Boulevard, Daly City, California. Can you believe that, bro? So what you're saying is true, man. It's just, it's cold, man. It's always cold. Like the coldest winter is the summer in San Francisco, right?
Mark Twain. That's what Mark Twain said. Yeah. So exactly. I lived on Westmore for about 5 years, which is right off of Skyline Boulevard. And 5 years was about everything my wife could take before she's like, "Aunt, we got to move out of here. Like, I can't handle this." I mean, you could literally not see the houses across the street.
Yeah.
All you saw was a wave of fog. Yeah, that was it. That's all you saw.
It's constant, man.
Yeah.
And it's weird. Like I said, it's the best time of the year out here in the Bay, man, is kind of towards the October, November time frame. You know, Indian summer. For whatever reason, the climate just follows that pattern, right? But the June, July time frame, although today's pretty hot out here, Tuan. I don't know if you know this, but right out here in Pleasanton where I live, it's about, 90 plus degrees today. And my poor daughter's out at the Alameda County Fair right now. With one of her friends from LMU and walking around and sweating it up. So just make sure you drink your water, man, because the last thing you want to do is be in that heat with no water, man. So she's probably spent a lot of money on water. But anyway, so go ahead. Continue the story. You're talking about Daly City, so go ahead.
I forgot where I was, but it was
No, you're talking about, like, you know, your family was in Daly City or, you know.
Oh, yeah, so my brother lives in Daly City,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it was about, on Father's Day, it was about 82, 83. He was dying. He was just dying. He's like, I don't want to be out here anymore. It's too hot. I'm like, come on, man. Suck it up, big boy. But but anyway, that was good. So how about you, Eddie? How did you spend your Father's Day?
Dude, you know, so it was nice. You know, my wife and my daughter took me to one of our favorite restaurants here in San Francisco. And we found this place by chance, man. It was back in 2007. My wife and I, the year after my daughter was born, we decided to go ahead and take, like, kind of one of these vacations in the city that you grew up in, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you live in San Francisco, bro, you take it for granted, man. You don't really see all the sightseeing tours that, you know, all of these tourists do, right? You kind of just, you take it for granted, bro. So we decided to go ahead and do that year. We went, you know, to the Coit Tower, you know, and that was my first time, honestly. That was in
2007. I never been.
Isn't that a trip? We're native San Franciscans, and we've never been to any of these places, right? So you know, and then we went to Fisherman's Wharf, which I've been to because of Pier 39, right? Pier 39 is kind of a cool spot, you know, at least back in the day. It's always changing. But, you know, a lot of people don't realize that there's some pretty decent restaurants at Pier 39, man.
Yes,
so we stayed at the Marriott Hotel. This is back in 2007 again. That we stayed at the Marriott Hotel down in on Mission Street in San Francisco, right down by there.
By Barcenero, yeah.
Yeah, so we saw this ad, and it said the Crab House. We're like, what the? Let's go try this thing, the Crab House. So we went to the Crab House, you know, the next day. And, dude, we've been going there every year, sometimes multiple times per year ever since. One of my buddies, who you've met him before, he's in our fantasy football league, or was. He actually used to be the general manager of that place. So anytime I would go, he would bring out this tray of mussels and shrimp, you know, for free. And he like, give it to me for free every time we go there, right? And then, of course, he's no longer there. But, you know,
he probably got fired because he kept giving you all that food for free.
No, he's been the GM for a long time. He moved out to Colorado and was kind of chasing the puff business, you know, out there. But anyway, so that's where we went. We went for Father's Day to the Crab House in San Francisco. And for those of you who are listening to us that are local or, you know, frequent San Francisco, please, I advise you to go to Pier 39. It's on the second floor. As you're walking to Pier 39, it's on the second floor on the left. And you won't be disappointed. It's a Dungeness crab, and the way they prepare it is just, it's awesome. So that's what we did. We, of course, ate up a storm, bro. I mean, you know me, bro, my one meal a day, right?
Yep.
And we also got four crabs and freaking all kinds of, like, side dishes. And anyway, bro, so most of those crabs were eaten by me, bro. So,
awesome.
Very all good. Right, man. So anyway, without any further delay, man, before we get into it, bro, before we get into the NBA Finals, man, there was some news that happened in the last week, but namely two of them. Okay, so one thing I want to bring up. Last week when we were doing the coverage of the pre-draft coverage for certain teams, one of the teams that we covered was the Orlando Magic, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was the team that I had covered.
Mm-hmm.
And I had indicated in there that they were highly likely to do a draft day trade, right? Mm-hmm. Now, technically, I didn't get it right, but I kind of got it right, bro, all right?
Uh-huh.
So we knew that they were in win mode now because they have a talented squad and they're very defensive oriented. The only thing I said is they lacked shooting, bro. They needed shooting badly, right? So what did they do? They went ahead and made a trade with the Memphis Grizzlies and now acquired Desmond Bane, and then the Grizzlies went ahead and exchanged that for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Cole Anthony, four unprotected first-round picks. So unprotected, what does that mean? That means no matter where that pick is, it's theirs, right? It doesn't matter. So they get the number 16 pick in this year's draft, which is next week, of course. And then 2026, they got one for there, and then 2028 and 2029. Then they have a first-round pick swap, but it's top two protected. So that means that the Magic would go ahead and keep that pick if it falls in the top two So that was what happened. Dude, what do you think of that trade, man? Anything that comes to mind when I bring that up?
So I think, you know, what's interesting to me, the first thing I thought of is, you know, how do I rank Desmond Bane against someone like Jimmy Butler, you know, with their age and everything? Because Orlando paid a haul. That was quite a haul that they paid.
For sure.
Now, one of, I believe one, if not two of those first round picks are not their own. right? I think one of them is a first-round pick that they got in a trade for Houston. And another one, I think, was some. So they really technically gave up two of their own and a pick swap. But I thought Desmond Bain is exactly what they needed. I think that was a very good win. For Memphis, you know, it makes me wonder, you know, obviously everyone's now checking if Triple J is available. Are you going to trade Ja Morant? That kind of the floodgates are open. And Memphis has said, you know, no. And I don't know if you saw today's news, but Zach Edey got arrested for going 100 miles an hour in a car. So he's in a little bit of a pickle. Also, I don't know. We kind of didn't talk about it much, but he had ankle surgery, and he's going to be out for, like, the beginning of the season. So he's not going to be available. I'll talk a little bit more on that when we get to their draft card. But so I'm curious to see what Memphis does right now, you know, because at least in terms of, like, a solid number two, number three player, I thought Desmond Bane was the one piece in that lineup that was going to be there long term. And that the one they trade, you know, because Ja Morant's obviously everyone knows his history. He's gotten into a lot of trouble, and it's hard to, you know if he's going to be available or not just from his, you know, his recent past. And then Triple J, he's kind of, you know, in the playoffs, he's kind of shrunk a little bit, you know, was too perimeter heavy. If you ask me, he wasn't as effective on the inside as I think he should have been. So I thought, you know, those two were maybe question marks. Those are the two that they're keeping. And they're trading away Bane. So we'll see. We'll see what comes of it. I personally think they're going to make more trades. I think they're going to do more. And I think that one, if not both of those players are going elsewhere.
Yes. I mean, for sure. I mean, because they're going to have a boatload of picks now, right? That they can go ahead and dangle along with, you know, KCP he's a good player, man. I mean, he's a good two-way player. He can shoot, although he didn't shoot very well last few years in Orlando. It's probably because everybody knew that he was probably one of the better shooters, so they kind of, you know, went ahead and D'd him up, whereas in the past, he was never really D'd up that way, right? Or he could just be getting older, bro. Cole Anthony, right, he's a player that is a, you know, he could be someone that comes off the bench on a team that's very, very good, right? And he was already doing that with the Orlando Magic. He just was kind of getting spot minutes here and there, right? So I agree with you that there's probably going to be more to come with respect to Memphis. We might see some draft day trades going on with that team. But that started out the whole trades off season here. It started before the draft. But I just wanted to point out that I actually wasn't bad. I picked that, right? That's highly likely.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So anyway,
I don't think they're done. I think there's yet more.
Yeah, I agree. So, I agree, man.
So
I agree.
You still may be right in terms of draft day.
Draft day trade too.
Draft day. Yeah, right. That's still on the table. Right. Yeah.
So, all right, man. So that was, and there was like a small trade that happened today that was actually between the Pacers and the Pelicans. It was just pick swaps. Nothing to really note. Nobody to note, right? But anyway, so the next thing I want to bring up is that the Lakers were sold, right? Mm. So the Buss family has relinquished ownership of the team, and they relinquished it to somebody named Mark Walter, who he bought it for $10 billion, at least. But the thing is what's interesting, bro, is that he already had some stake in the Lakers since 2021, where he had purchased 26% from the previous, you know, owner, right? One of the minority owners there. So what's interesting, bro, is that this guy, you know, he's already has ownership of the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. He also has ownership of the Sparks. I mean, this guy has cornered the sports market in Los Angeles, bro. I mean, this is interesting, man. This is what's going on, right? Now, I don't know what this is going to mean, you know, as far as, you know, TV rights. I'm sure because this guy got, you know, the Dodgers awesome TV rights, right? You know, the whole ownership, right? That's how they got this huge freaking salary cap, right?
Yep.
Whereas, you know, the NBA, you know, it's a hard cap, right? But what's interesting is that, you know, Jeannie Buss will go ahead and remain as the governor for the foreseeable future. That was part of the deal. I think, you know, it's interesting that the two teams that did this under the table trade have gotten all of the spotlight in the off season, right? You know, not in the off season, but, you know, during the playoffs and towards the off season, you have the Mavericks getting Cooper Flagg with, you know, the odds are against them completely doing that. And then you got, you know, the Lakers getting sold, right? to, you know, the biggest valuation in the history of any franchise. Yep. So what are your thoughts, man? Anything that come to mind as we
Well, immediately the first thing I thought of is when someone sells but remains in ownership, to me, that sounds like the Buss family had financial tightness. You know, like the money wasn't as free-flowing as it could have been to get whatever players they need to get. Right. So now, obviously, in the NBA, it's not like baseball where there's no cap and you can keep paying whoever you want to pay. There's ramifications. But my guess would be that now I anticipate even more the Lakers being active, looking for free agents. You know, I'm curious what this means for someone like LeBron, you know, in terms of the future, because you got now a different ownership. Maybe they want to go in a Luka direction and not pay Bron so they can pay other people. I don't know. So right now that's the only thing that comes to mind. What is the strategy that the ownership is going to want to go in terms of how they want to rebuild this team?
Right.
Yeah. So to me, that's just my where immediately it goes. But I do think that the likelihood of them being active in the trade market just went up significantly.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you. It screams that, man. So yeah, good insight into that, man. So all right, man. So let's go get into the stuff that we we're slated to talk about. So we you know, we're the finals, dude. These finals have been really, really good, man. I mean, you know, we haven't really looked at the ratings, you know, lately. But you know, this finals has been way better than I think most people thought, right? So you know, right now the Thunder have a lead of 3-2 with Game 6 happening tomorrow. Now, with the unfortunate thing for the Pacers is that Tyrese Haliburton has strained the calf, right? And Tyrese Haliburton had been probably their best player leading up to Game 4 and Game 5, because you know, Pascal Siakam has emerged like he did in the previous series where he was the MVP, right, of the conference, the finals. You know, he's definitely emerged. And you can see here, for those of you who haven't seen this slide before, but I'm sure some of you have already been here before, we go ahead and keep track of fantasy points. So all of their stats we keep track of. And you can see the totals are the totals for the entire playoffs. But then I kind of break down on a per-game basis for each of the teams, like who are the guys that scored the most fantasy points as well as fantasy points per minute. That's what you see as far as the kind of orangey highlighted. That's going to be the most efficient from a fantasy points per minute standpoint on each team. And as I noted, Pascal Siakam has been the most efficient guy on the Pacers in the last two games. Tyrese Haliburton, you know, now has a strained calf. He's saying he's going to go ahead and play. But, you know, anytime you have a strained calf, that means and screams that there could be an Achilles issue if you don't really watch yourself with that, right? Because you're going to start favoring things and then boom, right? It could happen. So you know, we'll see if that's going to – but that, unfortunately, is going to turn the tide in this series because Tyrese Haliburton has been the ice cold killer in this freaking series, man. I mean, not in the series, but the entire playoffs. I mean, he's had his moments, right? He's had these epic moments. And that kind of takes away from the luster of this series now if that guy is out, because the Thunder, it would be like the Thunder losing Shea. But even if the Thunder were to lose Shea, they'd still be pretty good and competitive just because of the way they play, right? So I'm just kind of concerned that now this screams that the Thunder are going to go ahead and win on the road and take this game. I'll take the series in six, man. So what are your thoughts for them?
Yeah, so, you know, one thing I want to call out is the bench highlights that you did. Obviously, Thomas Bryant for game five was the high point, but he only played a minute. The guy who impressed me in that game was T.J. McConnell. He played like he played in some of the New York Knicks games, right? He was aggressive. He can get to the hoop whenever needed. So I'm thinking that, you know, depending on Halliburton's status, there's going to be more utilization out of T.J. McConnell. He's going to play more minutes. He's going to, you know, and I think that, you know, obviously he is not the cold killer, you know, bring you back from the brink of death kind of player that Haliburton has been. But I would say that he's more of a consistent, you know what to expect, less highs, less lows. More of a consistent player. And I do think that he brings something to the team that Haliburton doesn't, which is kind of more like a normal vibe, a normal level of flow, right? It's kind of not so up and not so down. You know, Haliburton has had poor first halves, both in game 4 and game 5. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, in game 5, I don't think he even made a field goal. All his points came via free throws.
Free throws, yes.
And so clearly his leg is bothering him. But it is not uncommon for him to be cold in the first half. Shoot, it's not uncommon for him to be cold for the first three quarters.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the fourth quarter kicks in the last 2 minutes and that dude's scoring 12 points in like a minute. You know,
right.
So that's what you're going to miss. That aspect of his personality. But with TJ McConnell, I think if he plays more minutes, you know, maybe they get a lead. Maybe it's a little bit of a different flow to the game. It'd be interesting to watch. But yeah, I would agree with you. If Halliburton doesn't play a game, the next game is going to be game six is going to be tough.
And you highlighted a player that was interesting because, you know, in past podcasts, when we cover the Pacers, you know, I've screamed, dude, they should be playing this TJ McConnell more, man, because he gets like 15 to 16 minutes a night, right? But when he's in there, he's producing. And what's interesting in the broadcast, Doris Burke pointed that out in the last game, saying, you know, this guy has been a spark plug, and you got to kind of call out why he's not in there when you know, the team could really utilize him. And I'm like, okay, so I'm not smoking it, man. I was right. I mean, this guy is he's an older player. You know, but the thing is that, like you said, he's very consistent. And then you can see in game five, he had an efficiency of 1.51, which would have been the highest if it wasn't for Thomas Bryant 1 minute.
Yeah, the 1 minute. Yeah, that, obviously that's a little jaded. You know, he comes
in exactly.
And then takes off, you know, all of a sudden he's at 2.7 or whatever. But you know, yeah, no, I mean, and if I'm not mistaken, in game three, which we had last week, Ben Mathurin had himself a hell of a game. And so he was playing really well. So, you know, I think that if those two players can have a above average game for themselves,
right,
I think that, you know, Indiana has a shot even without Halliburton. But if it's close down the stretch without Halliburton, I just don't see how Indiana pulls it out.
I agree with you, brother. And you know what's interesting is that looking at the complexion of the rosters, right, as far as just looking at the fantasy points per minute metric, right, if we look at the Pacers game four and game five, if you compare that fantasy points per minute of the Pacers versus the starting five of the Thunder, you will see that the Thunder starting five has been way more efficient from a fantasy points per minute standpoint compared to the Pacers. It's the Pacers bench that has definitely made them more effective, right? Or at least keep them in the series. But the Thunder also has a very good bench too. We had called this out that this series was going to be determined by the others, right? And I think that's still going to hold true because, you know, the Pascal Siakams, the Tyrese Haliburton, they're going to get theirs. You know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jalen Williams, they're going to get theirs. It's what everybody else who's going to stand up and deliver, right, as far as those others. And I think that's going to hold fort right here. That's probably what's going to happen is that, unfortunately, that injury that Haliburton sustained is going to limit the capability of the Pacers to be as deep as they could have been. And without him, I think this series is over, unfortunately. Unless he comes back and just plays his butt off and, you know, doesn't get hurt, then we go game seven. But we did call, or at least I called, that this series was going to go six, at least.
I got to say, you know, injuries are part of it. You know, there's been a lot of key players that have gotten injured throughout these playoffs. But this one really bums me out because I thought it was a good series. They're both relatively young teams. I thought this was going well. I like the way it's going. So it's going to bum me out that Halliburton's not at 100%, that, you know, you can't. I would have loved to see this go seven. I would have loved this to, you know, down to the last couple of minutes. That's kind of the image that I was getting just based on all these games. How much of a lead the Thunder got, the Indiana always managed to bring it back, you know, to within a point or two, if not take the lead in the last couple of minutes. So
that does kind of
bum me out that, you know, and I wish that everyone was at 100%.
No, I agree with you, man. So, okay, so let's call it right. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to be the MVP. There's no doubt about it, right?
You think there's no doubt?
I say no doubt. He's going to get the MVP.
I think there's a possibility Jalen Williams gets it.
No, it's going to be Shai. Jalen Williams will get votes, but Shai's the MVP, man. And he's going to get the MVP as well as the finals MVP in the same year, man.
I, for the record, I agree with you, but I think I wouldn't be like, oh, my God, if Jalen won it.
I think the rest of the NBA would be, oh, my God. You know?
Yeah.
But I think Shai has just proven that he is a beast of a player. And he's brought back the art of the mid-range shot.
Yes, he has.
That dude is a freaking artist on
he's
the floor. And he's so shaky and shifty, man. It's like, man, I didn't see this, man. You know, do you remember when we called out I think it was last year, we were calling out the ESPN Top 100, and yeah. I had a question about Shea. I'm like, what, Shea? Come on, yeah. man. He's like, yeah. six? I didn't see it back then, man. So yeah. I'm gonna swallow my pride there and say I was
yeah.
because you know at that time I don't think well just Devin Booker or Jimmy Butler they should be up there, but no this guy's legit, man. So
no he is smooth. He is very very smooth.
Yep. And well, let me ask you this: what about if the Pacers turned out to win this series, which is highly unlikely? But if they did, who do you think would be the MVP?
Siakam.
I think so too. And he's been playing out of his butt, yeah. man. I mean, yeah. he's the only guy on the team that has finals, you know, one championship ring, and he's, you know, he's got a lot of playoff experience. The one and only on that team. So, all right, real quick, before we move on to the draft coverage, Miles Turner, do you think he stays or he's gone for the Pacers? Because he is a free agent.
I think he'll stay. I think he'll stay. I haven't done a lot of research on, you know, I do have the numbers when we get to Indiana.
Yep.
We do have the numbers in terms of their salary cap, but I think he'll stay. I mean, he's been on the trading blocks for many years, and now that he's gotten to the finals with this team, you know, I think that, you know, they're going to be a year better next year. I think, you know, they're going to be possibly the team to catch. You know, them between them and Cleveland, and we'll see what New York does in the offseason. I think Boston's going to have the year off with no Tatum. I think it'll be between the three players. So I think he stays.
Yeah. You know, I think they need him a lot more now, only because, you know, they're thin at the center spot. I mean, they got two guys in Thomas Bryant and Tony Bradley who are journeymen, big men, right, as backups. And Isaiah Jackson getting hurt, that really messed up their rotation a little bit, but you know, it didn't really mess them up that much because they're here in the finals, right? Essentially two wins away from a championship, but likely not going to happen because of the injury to Tyrese Haliburton.
I agree. It'll be just for drama purposes. I hope Indiana wins game six.
You know, I do too. We all love game seven, man.
Drama, but that's going to, if whether Tyrese Haliburton plays or not, he's going to be limited. And so it's going to be hard.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, man. Yeah. All right, man. So that's it for our coverage for the finals. You know, again, we're here live. So for those of you who are here, thank you for being here. But we're here live every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, except for next Wednesday because it's draft day for the NBA. We're going to be here at 5 or 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here live doing the draft day coverage. So but anyway, we're going to go ahead and
Eddie, before we jump to the draft, I've been watching this Celtic City. Have you seen it?
No, dude, I haven't.
Yeah, so I started watching it. It's quite interesting. You know, it's quite interesting. You know, obviously, I know who doesn't know a lot about the Celtics? You know, the Bill Russell days, the John Havlicek days, you know, the Dave Cowan years, the Larry Bird years. But, you know, it's fascinating to watch from a racial perspective. You know, Boston's always kind of been known as a racist city, and they do a really good job of highlighting the minorities that live in the city and how unbalanced they felt it was, and, you know, kind of like how it went, you know. So anyway, I would, for anybody who hasn't watched it and, you know, you have an HBO subscription, I would recommend you check it out, because it's one of those where you just kind of want to rip through it. You're kind of, all right, next episode, you know, you're just kind of, I'm almost done, but a buddy of mine asked me about it. It's been on my to-do list, and he kind of reminded me, so I kind of picked it up. So I would recommend. You know, I'm not a big Boston Celtics fan, but you know, I'm even a lesser of a Lakers fan. But when the Lakers had that fiction show, that Winning Time,
that
show was fascinating, dude.
It was awesome.
Loved it. You know, I hated that I loved it, but I loved it. And so I'm like, you know, I'm gonna be. It caused me to be more open minded on watching documentaries on other things that I wouldn't normally watch. So I would recommend it. You know, the Celtic City is nothing like that show, right? It's all just a drama. It's more drama, right?
Whereas the other one's a little slapstick at times, right? You know, so.
Exactly. But, you know, Jerry West is in there. Pat Riley's in that documentary. Dude, Belle Biv DeVoe is in the documentary. Donnie Wahlberg is in the documentary.
Oh, wow.
Dude, they got a bunch of people in there. All these Bostonians. You know, I'm not done yet. Maybe other people are going to creep in, but. I would recommend it. It's a pretty good watch if you like basketball.
All right, man. I'm going to watch it, man. I'm going to watch it. And how many seasons is it? Just one?
It's just one season, and I want to say there's seven or eight episodes. I think I'm on
That's easy, dude. That's
five or six. Yeah.
Yeah, that's easy. I'll start that, like, you know, on a Saturday at, like, at 10 o'clock in the morning and be done, like, around 5, dude. I'm good.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And they do a good job of going kind of decade by decade, right?
Yeah, the first
ones are when Bill Russell got there and the stuff that he went through and kind of – it's pretty fascinating stuff.
Right on, brother. All right, man. So we're going to get into our draft coverage. So we're going to go ahead and – oh, actually, sorry. Before we get into that, I forgot about this slide. Thank you. So before we get into the draft coverage – we're just going to go ahead and, you know, show what we've been showing here for all the playoffs is, you know, the fantasy points totals for each of the players that are in the playoffs. The ones that are in red are eliminated, but you can see right now the only guys that are in the black font are either the Pacers or the Thunder. But you can see the one on the left is just showing you it's a descending order from, you know, the highest points to the lowest points. And then you can see that I've highlighted there in red font for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in the minutes played. He's played the most minutes out of everybody in all the playoffs. And then the one who has been the least amount that is still in the playoffs is Miles Turner. But you can see Shai surpassed Nikola Jokic a while back. So did Jalen Williams. So did Tyrese Halliburton, right? So, you know, you can see the difference in delta between Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jalen Williams as far as, you know, the amount that they've done, right? It's like over 150 points more than that, right? It's like 250 points more total, right, for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander over Jalen Williams. You can see Andrew Nembhard has now entered the building, right?
Yeah, he has.
Now the guy that's on the bottom, and I think by next game, Aaron Nesmith is also going to be the guy that's probably going to take off Jamal Murray in that list. But you can see on the right, you can see that Nikola Jokic, you know, he's been eliminated, but he's still been the most efficient from a fantasy points per minute standpoint. And then the newly entered Andrew Nembhard is the least efficient out of everybody. But you can see Shai Gilgeous-Alexander holding, you know, being the highest points as well as the most efficient. I mean, that right there tells you, man, this guy is just a difference maker, and I think he should be MVP, man. So
what's fascinating to me is, you know, Miles Turner has now 5 more games than OG Anunoby played at least.
Yep.
And yet he's 96 minutes behind OG Anunoby still. That's freaking crazy to me, dude. That just highlights how many damn minutes the Knicks players play.
Exactly, man. Exactly.
Mikal Bridges is even worse. He has 701.
Dude, I know. And there's what? There's like one. Let me see. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 players on this entire 15 list that are in the 700 minutes range.
Yep.
Mikal Bridges being one of those, right?
Yeah, but Mikal Bridges is the only one that isn't in the finals.
Exactly.
All the other 700. And Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
Right? But all the other players that are in the 700 minutes, you know, they're all still in the finals. They're all still playing.
Yeah, crazy.
Man.
Yep. Okay. All right, man. All right. So let's go on, man. So you're going to go ahead and cover the Atlantic Division. This is you, man. So take it away, man.
I am. So highlighting what I think many would consider, including my fellow Bostonian fans here, a very disappointing season for the Celtics. They came up against what I think was a team of fate in the Pacers. So they did lose in the Eastern Conference Finals. One of the worst things that could have come out of that game was Jason Tatum tore his Achilles. He's out most likely, at least best case scenario, maybe he plays in the playoffs next year, you know, if Boston makes it that far, which they should. I mean, assuming that they stay relatively the same team, you know, in terms of offensive, defensive rating, they're top 5 in both, you know, second in offensive, fourth in defensive, overall second in net ratings. And for those of you that don't remember, last year, Boston was the highest in the history of net rating. They were the highest net rating team. I believe it was 11.9, something like that.
11.9, and obviously, it was.
Yeah, something like that. And this year they got surpassed by Oklahoma City, who's at 12.4, whatever their
12.7, I think it was, something like that.
Something like that. So obviously a very good team. You know, just ran into a team, like I said, of fate. In terms of their starter scoring, which is a little surprising to me, you know, they were 30th in starter scoring.
I agree with you. That is surprising.
You know, that was – but obviously where they made up for it was their 10th in bench scoring, right? So that was pretty good in that sense. But in terms of roster needs, you know, this is going to be an interesting roster needs. Like I mentioned, Tatum is out. I think they're going to have to find somebody that can help keep the scoring. level up. And so I don't know how you go about doing that, whether you sign a 1 or 2 year mid-level exception contract or somebody that, you know, can kind of continue that. They need a little bit of front court depth. And, you know, obviously as the team is constituted this year, maybe that's not the case, but you'll see that, you know, they got some free agents, Lou Cornett, Al Horford, two big men in the front court, two guys that played key positions and were a key role on the team. They're both eligible for free agency. I'm wondering if Al Horford's just going to flat out retire. Lou Cornett is probably looking for an increase in pay. I don't know how much Boston wants to go over the cap. So I think they're going to need some front court depth to make up for them. And then a little bit of guard depth. You know, you got two of the best guards in the league in Holiday and Derek White. You know, but you need maybe a third or fourth player in there, someone who can come in and help out. So there's that. In terms of the cap, they're up there in the cap. They're above $100 million. And for those of you that maybe didn't watch last week's episode, you know, basically the way we're looking at this is if you're below 50 over the cap, you're okay. If you're between 50 and 75, you're kind of okay. You got to figure out between 75 and 100, you're starting to enter trouble. And if you're above 100, you probably are pretty limited in what you can do, right? So they're going to be, and of course, this cap number includes the departure of those free agents, right? It's not the cap number and then you subtract. That includes those. I think that, you know, they're probably going to look to make some trades. To do something. I think they're going to take an opportunity. So I think it's likely. I don't think it's highly likely, but I do think it's likely that they're going to try and make some draft trades. They got a late first round pick, a higher second round pick. Maybe they try to combine those to get into the mid first round, try to pick somebody up that can kind of, you know, possibly pick up some of the load, a more kind of seasoned college player. As I mentioned, Torrey Craig, Al Horford, Lou Cornett, all likely to be gone. You know, some free agents to target. You know, I thought of Miles Turner. Obviously, he's pretty good big man. You know, their big man is constantly hurt. So, you know, maybe that's something that they could do. Naz Reid is another one. He's not great on the defensive end. He's not great as a rebounder, but he is really good as a scorer, you know. And the Knicks are pretty good defensively in all their other positions. So I thought maybe somebody like that would be good. In terms of their draft picks, as I mentioned, they got the 28th pick in the first round. They got the 32nd pick in the second round. And here I've highlighted a couple of players. Adu Thiro from Arkansas, Liam McKinley from UConn, Rashir Fleming from St. Joe's, and Noah Penda from Le Mans. So these are all kind of forward slash basically power forward, small forward slash players.
Yep. They're all 6'7", 6'8", guys, man, wing guys, right?
They're all wing guys. Yeah. In that range, right? Yeah, people that can help with the depth, but can also help modern day basketball, which is 3-and-D type guys. And then for the second round, you know, Yannick Conan Niederhauser from Penn State. That's a big man. There's some help in the backcourt. You know, Ryan Kalkbrenner from Creighton, also 7-1. So I'm looking maybe that they're going to try to get some size early in that second round. To make up for the loss of potentially of Lou Cornett and Al Horford. And then another wing guy, Drake Powell out of North Carolina, that they might look at and use, you know, to use as a pick in that draft.
Right on. Real quick, I want to point out, I do have a ticker that's going down on the bottom because one thing that we're going to keep track of in next week's draft is how well we predicted the likelihood of draft day trades happening. Now, Twan had highlighted that the Celtics – even though that $107.2 million over the salary cap, that they're likely to do a draft trade. It's probably because some of these players that are likely gone are going to fill, you know, they have some voids to fill, right? That's probably why you went ahead and said that, right? And they have, you know, a couple of draft picks that they can dangle as well, right? But we're going to go ahead and add that, you know, likely for the Bostons at the bottom of this ticker for next week so that we can kind of keep track if we were right or wrong in this whole process, right?
Yeah, that'll be good. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. All right, man. You got the next one.
Moving on.
You got the next four.
Yeah, I do. I have quite a bit of them here. So the next one's the Brooklyn Nets. Overall, had a pretty disappointing season, but I think that was expected. You know, they're recovering from the losses of, you know, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, all of that. Yep. You know, the impact was coming, you know. So on offensive, they were towards the bottom. They were 28th. Defensive rating. They were also towards the bottom, pretty poor net rating, you know, fourth from the bottom as well, negative 7 points. You don't want to see that. Bench scoring, they were dead last. Starter scoring, they were dead last. Bench scoring, they were pretty decent. Although opposite
to the Celtics, man.
Yeah, opposite to the Celtics, it didn't have the same result. They need all kinds of help, all kinds of roster needs. Just take your pick. They need shooting. They need an established point guard. They need some wing defense. You know, they need some front court. I mean, they're all over the place. However, they're in a good place for salary cap. Like they're sub 50 in the 36. You know, I believe that typically, and don't quote me on this, but typically the salary cap goes up by 20 to 30 million every season.
Per year.
And the new salary cap hasn't gone up or hasn't been posted yet. So
it's, like 100, it's supposed to be 154.6.
And or do you know what the increase is? How much they're increasing?
Well, I don't know. From this year to next year? No, I don't. I
think this number doesn't take that into account. So let's just say it's 20 million, then they would only be 16 million over the cap, right? Which keeps them under the first apron, which allows them to do some wheeling and dealing. I think, if you look at their draft picks, they got a lot of draft picks, Eddie. I mean, they got a lot. I ran out of real estate just trying to figure it out. So I think it is highly likely they're going to be making some trades here in the draft, right? In the first round alone, they've got 1, 2, 3, 4 picks in the first round, you know, one pick in the second round. So they got a lot going on. Players that are likely gone, De'Anthony Melton, you know.
Juan, real quick, I think you might have got that from a different slide because these guys are all on different teams. So the player's likely gone. So D'Angelo, you know, Trenton, Wofford, I think he's on there. But De'Anthony Melton, well, I guess he did.
I think he got picked up.
He got picked up. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then, sorry, my bad.
Yeah, so I think they just picked him up for cap space to be able to generate cap space. D'Angelo Russell was traded. They did a trade with the Lakers, if you remember, that D'Angelo Russell was over there.
You're right.
So these players are most likely gone. I can't imagine they're going to bring any of those players back. Some free agents to target, you know, it was all over the maps. I mean, take your pick. Josh Giddey, who's right now currently trying to work a new contract with the Chicago Bulls. We'll see how that goes. Quentin Grimes, who's a good player. Jonathan Kuminga from the Warriors. You know, he's a restricted free agent. That may be somebody. They're probably the one team that could offer Kuminga a contract that the Warriors might not be able to counter. They might not be able to counter. Clint Capella, who's over in Atlanta now, you know, I think he's being aged out in Jackson Hayes. So these are just a couple of players. You know, obviously I try to keep my free agents to target in mind, like what's realistic. I don't think you're going to get like a superstar. I don't think you're going to, you know, like those type of players aren't going to want to come here. So I kind of kept it in the vein of who you could get, who might help you, you know, start with the rebuilding process. And as I mentioned, a boatload of first round picks, you know, Jeremiah Fears, a 6'3" guard out of Oklahoma. You know, I've seen him at possibly at the 8th spot, possibly at the 19th spot, you know, so there's a range there. Derek Queen, who's he's very high on a lot of boards. I think that he may be somebody that you could pick up at the 18. Igor Demon, 6'9" forward out of BYU, you know, maybe he fits right around the 19th. And then you've got the 26th and 27th spots of the first round. We got Joan Behringer, a 6'10" forward. We've got Ben Saraf out of Israel, you know, potentially 6'5", kind of guard forward type of player. Hugo Gonzalez, another 6'6" player. I can't even say this guy's name. Bogolyubov Markovic, you know.
Bogolyubov Markovic.
Yeah, Bogo. I like the name Bogo, though. We'll just call him Bogo. I hope he makes it, bro, because I want him Bogo for three. You know, but anyway, he's out of Serbia. Izan Almansa out of Perth, Spain, you know, another player. So these are some of the players that, you know, are kind of targeted in that range, players that might be available. I personally highly doubt that the Nets are going to take all of these draft picks in. I think they're going to end up trading something.
They absolutely should.
I'd give up the 26th and 27th for something in the mid-teens next year, you know, something like that. You know, so if anybody's interested, you know, maybe the Lakers or some player that is low on picks, which we have a couple of teams that only have one pick, one team that has no picks. So maybe something like that, they could figure out some sort of trade.
They should, man, because they should do, I mean, they're in rebuild mode. Fully rebuild. But the thing is that they shouldn't chase like these big names. They should go after some guys that are kind of moderate to, you know, emerging kind of guys, you know, like potentially like a Jonathan Kuminga, right? Someone like that, you know, is probably very attractive to him. You know, Josh Giddey, who made a name for himself this year in Chicago. guys like that, you know, they can go ahead and wheel and deal with some of these picks and get some, not necessarily high quality star power, but guys that give you incremental growth, right? That will get you there, you know, in the next 3 years maybe, right? And not like a 5 or 6 year. Cause if they continue drafting a bunch of young players, they're going to be in the same boat that they have been, right?
It doesn't work, bro.
It doesn't work.
I agree. And the one thing that, you know, I don't know if anyone's noticing, and I've said this in previous podcasts before, when you try to get a bunch of great players, it hardly ever works, man.
Right.
Just hardly. You look at last year's champion, Boston, Jaylen Brown, drafted by Boston. Jason Tatum, drafted by Boston. You know, you got to have a core of players that you draft, that you build, and then you put pieces around. Both these teams this year, you know, a lot of those players were drafted by Indiana. With the exception of SGA, almost all of those players were drafted by Oklahoma City.
Correct.
You have to build from within and then get pieces, you know, that extra piece that you bring in through a trade. You know, right. Halliburton, SGA, that type of thing, you know.
Right.
Porzingis, if you want to put him, or Drew Holiday, you know, that type of thing. But you really got to build from within. So they really got to find one or two cornerstone pieces that they can build around and then maybe pick up a player here or there. You know, but until they do that, you're right. They're just going to kind of be wandering in the desert here until they figure out who they're going to build on.
Wandering in mediocrity is probably a good term.
Exactly. And if you think you're going to pick somebody up, you know, like a star, that costs too much money. That limits your bench. Yep. You know, all of a sudden you can't do anything and you haven't built any flow into your team. It's very hard to make that work.
Yep. No, I agree with you, brother.
Yeah. All right, man. Moving on. Next is the New York Knicks. Very tough season. So this was a little tricky for me because obviously as of right now, as far as I know, the New York Knicks I don't know who their head coach is going to be, which makes it a little bit tricky and trying to understand what direction they're going to go in. Is it a defensive-minded head coach? Is it an offensive-minded head coach? You know, what are they going to do?
You're claiming Mike Malone, brother. You're claiming Mike Malone.
I've been claiming
Budenholzer, bro.
But right now it looks like, you know, they've been trying to get Jason Kidd to interview. That got denied by Dallas. So right now we're both looking wrong, right? At least as of right now. But the Knicks, if they want to strengthen the bench, it may come at the cost of a starter, right? So you might have to let go of a starter in order to get two or three pieces that you can kind of build a bench around. And I think for them, they absolutely need to worry about their bench. You know, they've got very good starting five, but they could possibly sacrifice one, like I said, to get multiple players so that your bench is a little stronger and that you're not killing these guys with minutes. In terms of offensive rating and defensive rating, they were the 23rd best offensive rated team at 111. This doesn't seem right, does it? I think this is right.
That's right.
Yeah, and then they were the 26th.
Oh, wait, the net rating might be off. I think that's right.
So the defensive rating at 117, and that's a little bit of a shocker because last year they were top five in defense. They were a very good defensive team, right? And their net rating here was at -6 points. Again, that doesn't seem right.
You know what it is? So their net rating is actually 4.09.
Okay.
I just looked it up right now. And their offensive rating is 118.42.
Okay.
And then their defense, 118.42 and then 114.34 is their defense. So their net 4.09. So
okay. Yeah. I butchered this one.
I'm known as the butcher, man. No worries. Yeah.
I think I got their starter scoring and bench scoring correct because, look, that matches what I would expect. Their starter scoring, they were second in the league because the starters played all the time. Yep. And their bench scoring was dead last. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they were last in bench scoring by, I want to say, 7 points. Right?
Six and a half player rotation throughout the entire playoffs, bro.
Yep. Yep.
They only figured out that they start playing freaking, I forgot who they decided to do it at the last minute. And it was like way little too late, man.
Yeah. Robinson, I think, is.
It was Robinson. Then they had Miles McBride. Then they put in Cameron Payne for a bit. Then they didn't play Precious Achiuwa. I mean, I forgot who they brought in, but it's somebody that they should have put him in from the outset because they needed some rest. I mean, those starters just were getting, you know, worn out, brother, and it showed.
So in terms of roster needs, you know, obviously they need depth. They need depth at every position, right? Just they need somebody that can come off the bench and help them. You know, they need a backup center. My guess is, you know, as much as he's the height and build of a center, Karl Anthony Towns is not a center. He's a power forward.
Yeah, he's a power forward.
He's like a power forward.
He plays like a power forward.
He's like a power forward. So, you know, Robinson has a history of being injured, of having, you know, so you need someone that can back him up. If your starters is going to be Robinson and Towns as your big men, then you're going to need a backup center. So, so kind of that's why I put those two spots. But again, to me, the most critical piece is you got to get some depth. You need three players that you can trust off the bench. You know, so however you do that, you got to figure that out. In terms of the cap number, they're right pushing up against the kind of what I call the yellow warning sign, which is $75 million. I think it is highly likely that they're going to make a draft trade.
I think it's a good call. I think you're right.
Yeah.
This whole complexion tells me that they're definitely going to do something.
Correct. Correct. And players that, you know, are on the free agent market is, like, as you mentioned, Precious Achiuwa, you know, at $6 million. Cameron Payne, who didn't play as much as I thought he should. I'll leave it at that. But he's at $2 million. Landry Shamet, who played a little bit towards the end. And then, DeLon Wright, who I believe is the son of,
No, he's the brother.
Is it the brother?
Yeah, Darrell Wright. He's
Darrell
the brother.
Wright. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yep. I don't want to age him out. Hey, Darrell, if you're watching, I'm not trying to make you old. So I think these players are probably likely gone. And again, they'll use this money to try to incorporate other bench players. You know, some free agents to target. You know, one of the ones, you know, Tyus Jones, who's a free agent from the Suns, you know, who did a really good job running the team. You know, I don't know if he necessarily considers himself a bench player or a starter. I don't know how he views himself, but I think he'd be a good pickup. Russell Westbrook, who, in my opinion, almost alone saved the bench for Denver.
For sure. You know? He was the sixth of the seven that they played.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. So I think, you know, picking up someone like that, you know, you get instant veteran, instant tough guy. You know, I think New York would love him for his attitude and the way he plays.
I agree.
I think that's a good fit. And the other one is Luke Kornet. You know, you need a backup center. Luke Kornet is a solid backup center. You know, if Robinson goes out, you know, I think, you know, you don't miss much of a beat. And then someone like Keon Ellis, right, as well. That provides you more depth, something that you can do. They have they don't have a first round pick. They have a second round pick, which is the 50th. And really, I was looking around and all I could find was this guy, Eric Dixon, 6'8 out of Villanova. You know, that's a potential, you know, kind of, 3-and-D guy, that might be able to help the team.
What's interesting, brother, is that you're calling out a draft day trade highly likely. When their draft picks, they don't really have much. I think the only thing they can throw around is probably future draft picks and maybe some players that are maybe one of their starters.
That's what I'm thinking, Eddie.
Yeah, like a Karl-Anthony Towns, like you're talking about, right?
I'm wondering if it's somebody like Josh Hart.
Ooh, because he's very, very highly coveted.
Correct. Yeah. He's a multifaceted player that I think you could get a lot for. The thing with Karl-Anthony Towns is he's one-dimensional. You know, he's an offensive big that you really can't use as a big. You got to use as a power forward. So he's a very specific piece. While someone like Josh Hart is very versatile. Obviously, they're not gonna trade the guard, and they're not gonna trade. You know, maybe Mitchell Robinson, someone like that as well, might be someone that, you know, you're looking to trade. But that's who I'm kind of thinking. They're going to do, and someone like, you know, maybe they trade with Brooklyn and get the 26th and 27th pick, you know, and you got a couple of players there. I don't know. Something like that is kind of what I'm envisioning. Right. But I think the Knicks really have to do something. But again, a lot of this is weighted on, you know, is the GM going to make these decisions? Are they going to have a coach by the day they do the draft? I mean, you know, I don't know how this is going to, I don't know what the higher ups are figuring out what they need, how they're going to build this team without a head coach. And that's always been a problem, you know. You know, the old saying is, you know, the GM buys the groceries and the coach, you know, makes the meal. But you really want at least the coach there to, you know, at least have a suggestion on what kind of meal he wants to make.
Cook it, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Cook the meal.
All right. Moving on. Next is the Sixers, who had probably, in my opinion, the most disappointing season of anyone in the league.
Oh, my God.
They were something fierce. Offensive rating of 111, 23rd in the league. Defensive rating of 117, 26th in the league. net rating of -63 for 25th in the league. You know, their starting scoring was poor, or I guess middle of the road, but their bench scoring was poor. They had a lot of injuries. You know, Embiid was in and out of the lineup. Paul George was in and out of the lineup. Their, forgive me, I always forget his name, their rookie, Ivy, right? Is that his name?
Well, which one
For the Sixers?
McCain.
He was injured. Yep. I think Maxey had an injury here and there.
Got injured. Paul George got injured. Dude, PG-13, I think, is the curse, brother. Man, everywhere that guy goes, the team goes to crap, man. It's like, you know, PG-13, just like, you know, the PG-13 movie
ratings, disease.
You know, some cursing is allowed, right? He's the curse, bro.
you're like, what do I got? I got the PG-13. It hit me hard. But anyway, you know, they need big man depth. They need some depth at the center position because Embiid is unreliable.
Yeah.
They need some depth at the forward position because Paul George is unreliable in terms of health. And obviously they need health.
Yeah.
They're at $53 million over the cap, which is middle of the road. That's not bad. But I do think that a draft day trade is likely, not highly likely, but I think it's likely because they got to do something. And to me, it would not surprise me if they try to unload Embiid for something, you know, towards somebody. I don't know who that person would be, because I think Embiid's value is at an all-time low. So what you're going to get in return is probably not what you would get. But I don't know if that value is ever going to get higher, right?
You have Nasri, Brook Lopez, Al Horford.
Correct.
I mean, Brook Lopez and
Al Horford. Backup center.
Because the guy that's a free agent is Miles Turner, right? Miles Turner could be.
Correct. Miles Turner would be good. Correct. Again, though, in that case, I'm looking at it more like a trade, not a free agent. Right? I don't think that they keep Embiid and sign Miles Turner. I don't think they would do something like that, right? To me, if you want to have someone like Brook Lopez, Naz Reid, Al Horford to cover when Embiid is out, then that's the kind of free agent that you would try to target. They're kind of forward. They're big men, you know. But I do think that a draft trade's likely, and it wouldn't surprise me if someone like Embiid is traded, you know. But again, his value is at an all-time low. I just don't know if it could get higher. Players that they're most likely going to lose is Kyle Lowry and Gershon Yabusele, both probably gone as they're doing this. And then their draft picks. They have the third pick in the first round. So they're looking at possibly Ace Bailey out of Rutgers, 6'8 forward, forward. And then Trey Johnson, who's a very popular name, 6'4 out of Texas, guard. He's someone that's highly touted. Possibly, you know, look at that. Although that seems like an overabundance of what they already have, you know. And so maybe they trade that pick for something. They pick them up and they package him and Embiid for somebody else. I don't know, something. We'll see. And then for the 35th pick in the second round, Hunter Salas, a 6'5 guard out of Wake Forest, Kobe Bray, a 6'5 guard out of Kentucky, and then Shaz Lanier out of Tennessee, 6'4.
Shooter out of Tennessee, yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Shooter out of Tennessee, yep. All right, moving on. Is this still me?
Yep.
Oh, man, I'm still going. All right,
last one.
Here we go. Next is the Toronto.
Me.
Okay. Then we've got the Toronto Raptors, who had, you know, I would consider a mixed season. Scottie Barnes was hurt. You know, they had some ups, they had some downs. Overall, probably a poor season for them, but, you know, I don't know if they expected like a successful season. I think they're a team that's kind of, I think I had them as on the rise, or I think we had them kind of on the rise.
They're a team that with some tinkering could be pretty dangerous because they're a pretty athletic team. They just have some holes that they just need to fill, but overall, I mean, you can build around a Scottie Barnes, man. I mean, that guy's a player, man. Or,
absolutely.
Yeah. So, and they have like RJ Barrett, who's decent. You know, they have decent pieces. They just need more shoot. They have Grady Dick, the guy's the name Dick. That nobody wants.
What a name!
They drafted him last year, but they have they have some decent pieces. They just, they just need some help.
Well, at least they didn't name him Harry. That would have been rough.
Oh man, that would have been rough.
But anyway, in terms of their offensive rating, they were in the lower portion of the league, 26. Defense, they were middle of the road. a net rating of negative 4 points for 24th on the lower end. You know, their starter scoring was 23rd. Overall, not a horrible number. The ranking's bad, but, you know, once you start getting in the 80s, that's a pretty good scoring for the starters. You know, that's kind of the way I've been kind of tracking it.
Yeah.
And then their bench scoring was really good. You know, they were 12th in the league, higher than average at 36 points. You know, what do they need? Some wing defenders, kind of a traditional point guard. They don't have a traditional point guard. They've got kind of more of these kind of scoring point guards, I would say, you know.
Or
the position is played by scorers, I should say, you know.
And so they had Davion Mitchell, and they traded him.
Correct.
He was called Off Night. That was a good
name. Yeah, anyway, that's the one of the best nicknames I've ever heard. But
yeah, and he had a good playoff run too for only for one series. But anyway, yeah. So he was one of the guys that was there.
Yep. In terms of cap, they're a little bit in the yellow at minus -64 million. I do also put them as likely. I think there's going to be a lot of trades in this draft.
Interesting.
There's going to be a lot of shifting.
You have 5 for 5 with your guys right here, the teams that you covered, that they're all likely.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. Right. Players that are gone, Chris Boucher, he's been an okay piece, kind of expensive, I think, for what they were using him at, but he's been a pretty good piece. Garrett Temple, who was on the lower end salary-wise, but a serviceable player. Some free agents that I put on here that I thought, again, kind of keeping in mind where the organization is, the type of player they would get. I put Lonnie Walker and Amir Coffey as possible players that they could pick up. They have one first-round pick, the ninth pick, Carter Bryan, 6'7", out of 6'7", guard out of Arizona. We've already talked about Malawach, the center out of Duke. We talked about Derek McQueen, Kasperis Jakusionis. Out of Illinois, 6'5" player. And then for the second round, they have the 39th pick. Hanson Yang, who I thought was interesting, out of China, I believe. Big player. The big players kind of always fascinate me. And then Cam Jones, 6'3" guard out of Marquette. And then Jameer Watkins, forward / guard out of Florida State.
Right on, man. All right. We are an hour in. And we have two more divisions to go, so we're going to try and race through this so we're not spending 2 hours like we did last week. Although, it's kind of highly viewed, so maybe people like 2 hours. I don't know, man. Anyway,
I think so, but I will say this. My daughter wants to go see How to Train a Dragon, Your Dragon, the live version.
Oh, the live version, yep.
So I promise. So we can't go 2.5 hours. She's going to kill me.
No. We're going to go pretty quick here, brother.
All right. Here we go.
So I have the Houston Rockets, and Houston Rockets were the second seed last year with a 52-30 record. In this season, they have two draft picks, one at the 10th position and then one at the 59th position. So if you look at their offensive rating, I mean, this team was legit, okay? This team is an up-and-coming team, and they are highly linked to Kevin Durant, right? Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant is being linked. And this is someone we've been talking about, right? That Kevin Durant would be a great fit for these guys because that's all they need. They need him and maybe one other guy that can shoot off the bench, right? And that's it, man. And this team will be seriously dangerous because, what surprised me about their defensive ratings that they were fourth because, in my opinion, I thought this team – I think part of the reason why they were only fourth is because their offense wasn't as good as some of the other teams that were higher, right? Because, they D it up, bro. I mean, this team is like very, very, very legit. I just really like the trajectory that they're on. I think I really like this team a lot, man. I mean, even though, I think I like them a little bit more because the Warriors took them out, right? If they'd beaten the Warriors, then I probably wouldn't be saying what I'm saying. But anyway, so for starter scoring, it's pretty good. Top 10 is pretty good, man. Bench scoring, it's 23rd. It's 32.7. Once you get into the highest bench scoring team in the NBA was at 44 points. So it's not huge, right? It's not a big, huge discrepancy. But anyway, as far as what are the roster needs? Okay, I said that they need one veteran shooter and one bench shooter, which I already mentioned. And like I said, Kevin Durant is highly linked to them. So be on the lookout for them.
If they're unable to get –
Kevin Durant.
Who do you think might possibly? And I know you put a couple of people down there, but if they're unable to trade for him, who's another trade candidate that you think would be a good fit for them? Would you risk trying to get someone like Paul George?
No, I would not, man.
Okay,
I would. So you
how about someone like Kawhi Leonard?
Kawhi Leonard. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's a good. I mean, he would be a really good fit. I think he's a good mid-range shooter type, right? I think that they need a player that is predominantly an outside shooter to spread the floor. And Kawhi Leonard can do that, but that's not really his forte. I just think somebody, you know, like, dude, Kevin Durant's the most perfect fit for that, for this.
Oh, no, I agree. Kevin Durant, dude, if Kevin Durant joins
Bradley Beal would be another one. Bradley Beal would be another one, although he's kind of, you know, he's always hurt now. You know, maybe even like a Klay Thompson, someone like that for being their bench shooter, someone like that, you know, just someone who could shoot, man, right?
Would you take a gamble at someone like Kyrie Irving, wait a year, wait for him to come back?
I don't know. I think Kyrie Irving, as skilled as he is, that injury is going to set him back big time, bro.
Okay.
Especially at his age.
Okay, cool.
That's what I think, man. But,
cool.
But anyway, so, all right, so as far as they are 98.1 over the salary cap, which is kind of towards the bottom third of all teams. As far as their draft day trade, I think it's highly, highly unlikely. They do have a couple of first round. They have a first round pick and a second round pick. I think that there is a possibility, but I'm saying it's highly unlikely, right?
I agree with you.
Because their team is already made to win right now, and I don't the incremental changes. Are only needed for this team to go ahead and take the next level. Now, players that are likely gone, I think these guys right here, especially Jeff Green, dude, $12.5 million for as much as they use him. That guy, that's sunk weight right there, man. That's a sunk cost. I think then to get rid of Jayshon Tate, he's another guy. Very expensive for how much playing time he gets. Aaron Holiday is a good little player, man. They started playing him a little bit more here and there in the playoffs. I think, but it's just the size that's the issue, right? So I think this right here will free up, you know, about almost $30 million of cap room right there. So they have gives them some flexibility. But you know, these guys, these are the same guys we talk about a lot of the times. Now, some of these free agents, the target are the guys that I thought could shoot. So Malik Beasley is a guy who can shoot, right? He's a good 3-and-D guy. Luke Kennard is all about shooting, bro. That guy is, you know, he's a really good shooter. That's what they need. Someone like these guys, Gary Trent, the guy who can shoot. DeAnthony Melton, if he stays healthy, he can shoot. So these are guys that I think that would give the Rockets some value in the shooting that they need. So at the 10th pick, I have a couple of guys that we named here. A few of them we've already named before. So, you know, Carter Bryant, he kind of compares to T.J. Warren, got a great shooting touch, good defensive player, 6'8", 215 pounds, small forward. And then we also mentioned the aforementioned Nolan Traore. We mentioned him a lot last week out of France. He's a point guard, 6'4", 184 pounds. He compares to George Hill or Devin Harris. Remember Devin Harris?
Yep, I remember Devin Harris.
Yeah, so he's a good high-level prospect, can do it all, pass the rocks well, hits the three, can defend. He's a pretty good overall, pretty good all-around game. And then for the 59th pick, we have the Jameer Watkins out of Florida State. He is 6'6", 212 pounds. He compares to Wes Iwunda, who plays for the Magic. So, I mean, good defensive kind of player. He's 6'7", has a good NBA frame, can do a little bit of everything, but just not great at anything, right? And then Andrew Carr is a power forward out of Kentucky. Doesn't compare to anybody, but 6'11", 235 pounds. He's a highly skilled forward who can shoot. So those are the guys that I think would be good picks for the Houston Rockets.
Nice. Nice. The only thing that I would say would change my draft day trade is if they package that first-round pick for Kevin Garnett.
For Kevin Garnett, you mean Kevin Durant?
Kevin Durant. Sorry,
I'm showing my age.
For Kevin Durant, like it's part of a package, right? Like you give him this year's first, some other first, and something.
I mean, that's they the can't that carrot to do that. Yes.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. That's the only way that I see that happening, and that's probably not going to happen. Maybe we'll see, but that's the only way that I see that. Other than that, agree with everything you said.
Right on, brother. All right, man. So now we're moving on.
All right, now back to me.
Back to you.
All right. The Memphis Grizzlies, as we mentioned, they made a trade. Desmond Bain was traded. So that kind of impacted things a little bit in their draft preview. They were top 10 in offensive rating, almost cracked the top 10 in defensive rating. They did crack the top 10 in net rating. So overall, they were a pretty balanced and solid team. You know, and this with, you know, Ja Morant kind of being in and out of the lineup, Zach Edey, you know, being a little bit in and out of the lineup, you know, so they had a couple of things going on and they still maintained their stats. They're middle of the pack in starter scoring, excellent at bench scoring. They had a very good bench squad. Yep.
Really good.
As I mentioned earlier, Zach Edey's had or will have ankle surgery, so he's going to be out at the beginning of the year. I'm thinking possibly a backup center for while he's out. Additional wing players, I think that they need. You know, I would probably add here as well is maybe some shooting outside of Desmond Bane. They weren't like a super, you know, the starters weren't a super great shooting team. You know, so I probably add some shooting now. Their cap number is great. They're at $42 million. That's very good. That's where you want to be, sub 50. But I do think that they're also highly I think they're highly likely to make some draft day trades. They've taken on some additional picks from Orlando. We mentioned it. There's four first-round picks. I think they got some stuff they can kind of play around with a little bit, especially depending on the direction they want to go, right? I don't think that Ja Morant and Triple J is enough to get you a championship. I think they need another third player, maybe someone kind of statistically better than Desmond Bane. That's going to require making some trades and doing something like that. As I mentioned, in terms of free agents, Luke Kennard is a free agent. Marvin Bagley, who's had probably a mediocre season. Mediocre career, I would say. Yeah, they're both free agents, and he's kind of pricey for the amount of the ways that they use him. Free agent targets, just some in terms of for the kind of wing players and things like that. You know, Kyle Lowry's a good backup guard. You know, with John Morant, if he's in, you know, they got Scottie Pippen Jr., who's did a really good job this year.
A good call, man. You called that guy emerging.
He really stood out in the summer league. And I just thought, man, like, I didn't know enough about him, but I thought he was a rookie. You know, obviously he was in his third or fourth season, but I'm like, dude, this guy can play. Like, he can flat out play. And so if John Morant is unavailable and Scottie Pippen Jr. is your starting guard, then someone like Kyle Lowry coming off the bench would be helpful. Derrick Jones Jr. I also put Miles Turner here because I think that this is potentially a team that could do something to pick up a player like Miles Turner. And I think Miles Turner would be interested in joining a team like this, depending on, you know, the direct. But he would be like an ideal replacement for Desmond Bane because now they get much bigger. It allows Triple J to play a little bit more outside, which is what he prefers, because Miles Turner is a good defensive player inside. He's a shot blocker. You know, he can kind of take on more of that load that Triple J hasn't been doing. So it'll be interesting. They've got three draft picks. In the first round, they have the 16th pick. In that spot, you know, I've got three players identified here. Cedric Coward, 6'5" out of Washington State. Nee Clifford, which we've mentioned in the previous show. Out of Colorado State, 6'6", and then Colin Murray Boyles out of South Carolina, 6'6" player. And then in terms of the 48th and 56th player, Javon Small, 6'1" point guard that could, you know, service as a backup out of West Virginia. Dink Pate out of 6'7" out of the Mexico City Capitanes, and then Ryan Nemhard, who is the brother of
Andrew Nemhard.
A 6-foot guard out of Gonzaga.
Right on, man. You know what's interesting, bro, is that it's amazing how quickly this team completely started collapsing towards the end of the year, man.
Correct.
And I think that's part of the reason why Taylor Jenkins was let go. Because, you know, at the time, they have decent talent on this team, man. I mean, if they're the second highest bench scoring team in the league, that tells you their rotation is pretty decent, man. It's just that they need kind of some, you know, the holes to be filled here and there, right? You know, John Morant, Desmond Bane, Triple J was a pretty good, formidable, up-and-coming big three, but they've decided to part ways with that and decided, I think, they're going to go ahead and start and press the reset button somewhat, not reset, but just kind of like do some minor changes to the direction that they had chosen prior. But they have decent players on that team. Salty Aldama is a pretty good player that comes off the bench. He was a big scoring punch and then they have a GG Jackson who's been hurt most of the season on and off. But they, like I said, they have Vince Williams who was hurt on and off. Another very good defensive player. These guys have players, man. I think they just need to probably go in a different direction. I think these are more maybe Taylor Jenkins type of players, and maybe they're just looking for, you know, a different a different direction. This guy who, you know, took over for them in the playoffs, he actually did pretty good, and then they signed him as a long-term coach. We'll see what direction they go when they and you might be right. They're highly likely to do some draft day trades.
Yeah, I mean they got a lot to play with. Forgive me, Eddie. Have they identified a head coach yet?
They have. It's the assistant coach.
Assistant coach. That's right.
Treyor. I forgot his last name. He has this a very unique name, man.
Yeah.
So yeah. So
anyway. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what they do here. You know. But yeah. Good call. All right.
Right on, man. Right on.
Moving on.
My turn, man. The Spurs. All right. So this is a team to be on the lookout for, right? They are the turn.
Which, by the way, was another team that Kevin Durant said he would like to play for.
Dude, everybody wants to play with Victor Wembanyama, man. And then they have De'Aaron Fox, you know, who's there too. That's a pretty good formidable, like, you know, 1-2 punch, right? That a lot of teams would like to kind of see what they can do. Anyway, they were the 13th seed last year. They were 34-48. They have two first round picks in the second and 14th pick, and then they also have the eighth pick in the second round and the 38th pick. So look at their analytics. They are essentially the 19th best offensive rated team in the league and the 19th best defensive rated team in the league, but that nets them to the 21st net rating team in the league.
Yep.
At 2.70. A lot of it has to do with Victor Wembanyama being injured, bro. When he got injured, you know, and had those blood clots, I think is what he had,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
They kind of wanted to make sure that you know, and you know what's scary, brother, is that, you know, these guys are healthy guys, man. They're always working out. You know, Damian Lillard had the same thing. You know, genetics really dictates your health more than anything.
Chris Bosh's career ended because of this.
But that's scary, bro. When you think about it, because these guys are well-conditioned athletes, right?
It is. Yeah.
And then, you know, here you and I, man, we go get the Peruvian food and we eat all kinds of junk, right? And dude, it's like, what the hell, right? How do you get away with it?
Yeah.
When these guys are eating like very highly nutritious stuff and they're working out and yet blood clots are happening, man. That's scary, bro.
Yeah.
But anyway, so if you look at their starter scoring, you know, they were 27, but their bench scoring, number one. Okay. That was a very interesting stat that they were number one, man. So this team has got a lot to, you know, play for. You know, Greg Popovich, you know, essentially gave up the reins, right? To what's his name? Mitch, forget his name. Anyway, the new guy. He's been the coach. I forgot his name.
He was the interim coach, now the head coach. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's now the coach. As far as roster needs, I kind of said athletic wing, right? They need more of that and a dirty work power forward so that they can free up, you know, Victor Wembanyama to do all the other stuff that needs to be done for this team to be successful, right? As far as salary,
I'll trade Draymond Green for Wembanyama. It's on the table.
Yeah, right. And they would like laugh in our face if you said that, bro. They would laugh in Dunleavy's face and they kind of also kind of, you know, flipping the bird, bro. But anyway, yeah. They were 30.9. Over the salary cap, which is probably one of the better ones in the league. I think they were the second best. If I didn't rate these, and I probably should have as far as against everybody else where they stood, but 30.9 gives them a lot of flexibility. Now,
I agree.
I put them as an unlikely draft day trade because I think they have a good core of players, but I think they can just add pieces, you know, out of free agency, in my opinion. I think they can just do that because they have some flexibility, and plus they have some draft picks that they can go ahead and continue to build. But as far as players that are likely gone. So, you know, Chris Paul, $12.5 million. I think, you know, it's possible. I would say he's highly likely to be gone. I'm just saying he's a possibility to be gone. Julian Champagne, you know, is $3 million. Not that big of a hit, right? It's possible. But
no,
you know,
but his impact throughout the season was higher than what they were paying him in terms of, you know, he was a high-impact player.
Julian Champagne?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he did a lot for them. You know?
Yeah, so and I'm just kind of looking at guys that are, you know, kind of on the block to be free agents that.
Yeah, but he's probably looking for a pay raise, is my point.
Probably.
Yeah.
And Jordan McLaughlin has been kind of one of these journeyman point guards, backup point guards, started his career with Minnesota, and he's been kind of jumping around since. You know, he's a decent little, I mean, he has a role, right, in the NBA. He's a backup point guard, and NBA always needs backup point guards, so he's always going to have a role as soon as he stays healthy. So, but I think these three are going to be the guys that are probably going to be gone. But as far as free agents to target, I kind of listed here some of the big guys, right? Mainly big guys. So Precious Achiuwa, Steven Adams, because of the dirty work power forward kind of, but Steven Adams has already been signed. So,
correct.
You know, so I kind of take him out now. Thomas Bryan for the Indiana Pacers, he's one of these guys. Kevon Looney, bro.
Dude, you know what? I think Kevon Looney would be a perfect fit.
He's a perfect fit for these guys, man.
Perfect fit on this team, dude.
Absolutely.
Good call. Really good call. I could see this 100% happening.
Absolutely, man. He's a dirty work type of guy. Does all the dirty work, man.
Not a dirty guy, but a dirty work guy. Yeah.
Dirty work guy, right? Lunch pail guy, right?
Yep.
We already mentioned Precious Achiuwa and then Taurean Prince. I think he's another ideal fit for these guys because he's a two-way player, right? So these are guys I think they should go ahead and target. So as far as their second, the second pick, so we've mentioned a lot of these guys already, but Dylan Harper is the shooting guard, highly regarded to be the number two pick after Cooper Flagg out of Rutgers. But it's interesting that Rutgers has the second and third picks more than likely are going to be out of Rutgers. But Dylan Harper is a shooting guard at Rutgers at 6'6", 213 pounds. He compares, dude, check this out. Remember we're talking about comparisons, bro?
Yes, yes.
Okay. You know, last week, Manu Ginobili was like the biggest, like, whoa, right?
Yeah.
And I forgot who else we picked, but we're like, whoa, Tracy McGrady was another one that was brought up last week. But dude, this one was James Harden.
Dylan Harper compares
to James Harden. Could be the ceiling is James Harden, and the floor is the Kobe White of the Bulls. That's what they say about this guy.
So as a shooting guard, you'd have Stephon Castle. As a shooting guard, you'd have Stephon Castle, and then Harper as your backup.
Or move Stephon Castle to maybe a small forward and make him or put this guy as a small forward because 6'6", you can still play small forward.
This team's going to be so good in a couple of years. It's not
good,
even.
I mean, this is who they're going to get, bro. I mean, like they're saying, he's a rare talent with great size, high basketball IQ. He's a pro ready type player, got good strength. He's going to, you know, no matter where he goes, this guy is going to be a contributor right from the jump. And so that's who I have. The other guy out here, you already mentioned him, Ace Bailey, you know, out of Rutgers. Okay.
Yep.
He compares to Tracy McGrady. He compares to Tracy McGrady. That's his ceiling, and his floor is the Josh Smith. Remember Josh Smith?
I remember.
Yeah. So this guy's 6'8", 202 pounds. What's interesting is that they have the second and third best players, but that they didn't even make the tournament, brother. Right? And I know you telling me, like, hey, man, I kind of like, what does that mean? What does that say, right?
That's the whole Ben Simmons effect, dude.
Exactly.
But they're not drafting them to be the star of this team. The star of this team is Wembanyama, and so, you know, they're pieces, you know, that you're adding to the squad. But so I'd be less concerned. But, yeah, I think there's something there if you can't even make the tournament.
No, I agree. I agree, bro. I mean, if you have two of the best players in the country, dude, you should be there, right? Anyway, so the other guys at 14, we've already mentioned all these guys. Nolan Treyer out of France, Thomas Sorber out of Georgetown as a center, Kasparis Jakaciunas out of Illinois, big point guard, and then the number 38, we have Sion James, a point guard out of I don't think we've talked about his comparison, but he compares to Stanley Johnson. Do you remember Stanley Johnson?
Yeah, I remember Stanley.
Yeah, he came out of Arizona, 6'6", 220 pounds. That's who he compares to. He's built like a linebacker, big dude. You know, 6'6", 220 is like a linebacker, right? And then the next guy that I have here is Cam Jones out of Marquette, 6'4", 202 pounds. We had mentioned him before. He's Etuan Moore, Fred Hoiberg kind of guy. He can shoot, right? This is what he is. He can get hot quick. So that's what, you know, they have a lot of good players to choose from here in this draft. So that's why I'm saying that they're unlikely to make a trade because I think they're just going to build and just sign some guys off free agents.
Yeah. The one thing they may do is end up trading or selling that second round pick.
Maybe.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're starting to get to the territory where they might have too many players. Too many people to think about, but we'll see. Good call.
Yeah,
I'm really impressed with the Kevon Looney. I think that's an excellent call, dude.
Thank you, brother. We'll see if it happens.
Yeah, we'll see. I can almost envision that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I can just almost see it, which would make me sad because I'm a big Kevon Looney fan.
I've grown to like him. At first, I didn't like the draft pick, but I've grown to like him. So.
Yeah, my dad hates him. My dad, every time he sees him, he's like, he doesn't move. He's slow.
Yeah.
You know? It's kind of like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Robert Parrish effect. You know, you just don't think they're working as hard because of the way they do it. But you're like, no, they're good, bro. You got to pay attention. They're good. All right, moving on.
Right on. I think you're next, brother. Right.
This is me. The Dallas Mavericks. Oh, man, what a season. So the fix is in. The fix is in. Adam Silver says, if you trade Luka, we'll give you that first pick. You can have Cooper Flagg. It's all in the bag. Everyone's happy, right?
So fixed. So fixed.
It's just, I can't, you know. The one thing I keep sitting there and I'm wondering, if I'm a Dallas fan, right?
Yeah.
Am I happier at this result or am I still mad?
It tempers the anger a little bit, but they're still kind of, you know, peeved. They're not as, you know, ridiculously pissed. They're more just peeved now.
So let me ask you, Eddie, let's make this a Warriors decision, right? Let's say.
Okay.
As a Warriors fan, would you like to have Luka where he is now, or would you like to have Cooper Flagg where he is now? If you had the choice to pick one.
Well, Luka's a proven commodity in the NBA. So
yeah,
we
I agree.
Know what he's all about. Cooper Flagg, we don't know yet, but we've seen him play against Team USA.
Yes. You
know, in the Olympics, and that dude was a baller. I mean,
yes.
And even the pros were like going, who is this kid? This guy's yeah. going to be a stud, right?
Yes.
So, but it really depends. I mean, with the Dallas Mavericks, you know, of course Kyrie's hurt, so you're not going to have him, but you have, you know, Anthony Davis. You have Daniel Gafford. I mean, a bunch of bigs, and you have this
that front
guy.
Court is scary.
The front court is scary. Then you have PJ Washington. Scary. You have this guy. I mean, dude, they're just amazing. The riches of players at the front court position that this team has, right?
So I agree.
They need to like get some guards in there, man, because they need a guard without Kyrie Irving, right? So
correct.
I mean, Spencer Dinwiddie, you have him down there as a player, likely gone. They might have to keep him too because they need somebody. Well,
the one guy that I targeted was Josh Giddey.
Oh, interesting.
If you can figure out how to get Josh Giddey,
yeah,
right, and then maybe figure out what to do with Kyrie Irving next year, I think you might have something. You know, I think you might have something there, but we'll see. Anyway, in terms of their metrics, you know, they were in the lower half of offensive rating. They were in the lower half of defensive rating. You know, they really, from a metrics perspective, it's really hard to measure the Mavericks this year. You know, Doncic didn't play a lot for this team. He was hurt for a good portion before they traded him. You know, Anthony Davis got hurt for a portion when they picked him up, which is not uncommon. So, you know, all of these ratings, you know, are hard to kind of judge. You know, I think they're a better offensive team than what their ratings are. Even yep. if they kind of all things stayed the same. And I think with a healthy Anthony Davis, they're definitely a better defensive team. So I think they're probably 3 to 5 spots higher than what this is saying, you know. And in terms of their net rating, they were just a little over or under 500, I guess, at -1.3 on 19th. Their starting scoring, they were right a little lower than the middle. And then their bench scoring was on the upper side. In terms of roster needs, you know, backup depth, right? I think that they do need a little bit of backup depth. And then I put future star on there, and that's the Cooper Flagg question, right? Yep. Is Cooper Flagg a future star? Is he the guy that's going to take the baton from Anthony Davis and carry this team for the next 10 to 15 years? Is he that guy, right?
Could be.
Yeah, he very well could be, you know. You know, and the plus side is that if he is that player – it may help Anthony Davis not get hurt as much, you know, because Anthony Davis doesn't have to do as much, right? Because yeah. you know, he's got all of this help. So we'll see. I mean, you know, all things considered, I think Dallas is in a great place, right?
Absolutely, man.
You know, and I would argue that they're potentially in a better place had they kept Luka. You know, it is a risk, right? They're going to save a lot of money on the cap, right? Because they would have had to have played Luka because they were their own player. I think he was looking somewhere in the, I think, $400 million range, you know, that they were going to pay him. And so I think they had a lot of concerns about that, you know, due to his, you know, the way he keeps himself in shape, his diet, all yep. of that. You know, he's a yep. heavy set guy. Yep. And usually heavy set guys, the older they get, the much worse they get. That's normally how it works out. But, you know, I think they run the potential of being in a much better spot. In terms of their cap, right, they're right in that kind of yellow zone that I called $74 million over the cap. I think very unlikely they do a draft day trade. Just very unlikely.
That's interesting, bro. Because you know what, I was thinking as you were talking about all this, man.
Yes.
You know, the amount of front court depth that this team has, dude. They need to do something, man. They have Daniel Gafford. They have Anthony Davis. They have Derek Lively. They have P.J. Washington. They're about to have Cooper Flagg, right?
Correct.
There's a lot of redundancy on this team from one or two positions. I think, bro, that they scream a draft day trade because even though they don't have the assets as far as trading picks, they have players that are coveted, right?
So I want to be clear, Eddie. The way that I interpreted a draft day trade,
picks.
You're going to be – there's some sort of pick involved.
Correct.
I do
have future picks that they can involve.
Yeah, I do think there will be some trades once the dust is settled week, 2 weeks into, after the draft. I think that is – you're right. But I think the guy that's most likely going to disappear is P.J. Washington. I think that's the guy that's most likely the guy that they're going to try and trade.
And he's a great player you're picking up because I was thinking this out loud, bro, as you were talking.
Yep.
Warriors need players like him and Daniel Gafford. Why not? Mm-hmm. Hey, what do you think about Jonathan Kuminga on that team, right? I mean, Jonathan Kuminga for one of those two players, I think the Warriors would do that. I think the Mavericks would do it, bro.
So you're thinking something like Kuminga for P.J. Washington straight up?
Or Daniel Gafford. Or two.
Yeah, see, I don't think they're breaking up that Lively Gafford mix. I just don't think they're going to do it. Right? They need a center and a backup center.
Okay.
Those two guys fill the spot.
Yeah, but you have Anthony Davis.
Well, see, but Anthony Davis is in his mind, he's a power forward, and I think that's how they're going to use him.
But you have interchangeable players. You have Anthony Davis who be backed up by Gafford, can be backed up by Lively, potentially on a small lineup can be backed up by P.J. Washington, right?
So yeah.
That's what I'm saying is, like, you have this plethora of
players. You do.
Why not, you can trade one of those players and get someone like Jonathan Kuminga.
I don't disagree with you. I just think that given Anthony Davis's health record, I wonder if they're willing to make that gamble.
Yeah.
Like P.J. Washington, I agree. He's excessive. He's not – there's no room for him, right? Yeah. Because whether Cooper Flagg is great or not, they're going to give him at least a year to prove himself. So those minutes are going to go to Cooper Flagg. Wherever – he's probably not going to start. He's probably going to come off the bench maybe. I don't know if Cooper Flagg can play small forward or he has, kind of deal. Maybe they put in something like, Gaffer, Anthony Davis, and Cooper Flagg, kind of as your – kind of three front linemen. I don't know if they want to do something like that. And then you have, Clay and whatever point guard you decide to pick up for the season, something like that. But again, you're right. I mean, shoot, if they're willing to give up Lively or Gafford, which most likely would be Gafford, not Lively, I'll trade him for Jonathan Kuminga. I'd do it. I'm not 100% certain Dallas would do it.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Not him. P.J. Washington, I think we're talking now.
I'll take him too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway.
Yep. So that's why I said highly unlikely, right? They got the number one pick. They got no second round pick. They're not trading that pick. They're just not, right? So I don't care what anyone comes up with. I don't think they're letting that thing go, especially with all of the publicity that's happened with the Doncic thing. They're bringing Cooper Flagg in, and we're going to see how this plays out.
Yeah.
and in terms of players that are most likely gone, we mentioned Spencer Dinwiddie, at $2 million, and Dante Exum, right? Those are two players that are most likely gone. And that's why I brought up, Trey Jones or Josh Giddey. Josh Giddey was really kind of interesting to me.
Yeah.
If you're Chicago, what are you going to do, right? And we'll talk about Chicago here in a minute because I think Chicago's in a figure out how we're going to move forward, period. Where does Josh Giddey play in that? Is he someone that they're willing to give up? Is there someone, like if you trade, one of those centers, Gafford, to Chicago for Josh Giddey and a signing trade, something like that, maybe we're talking something there. So that's why I put him in there. And then there's no dispute here. I didn't put anybody else because we know Dallas is taking Cooper Flagg. If they don't, it'll be the biggest blunder in the history of the NBA draft. There's no way they're not taking Cooper Flagg. The only question is, how great of a player is he going to be?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So a lot of people say that this guy is not going to be a transcendent player, but he's going to be a difference maker, a guy that's going to be somewhat Kevin Durant-ish. That's who they're saying this guy could effectively become someone like that, but more defensive minded.
So more Larry Bird-ish.
Yeah, but with more athleticism.
Yeah.
Because Larry Bird wasn't that great defensively. Kevin Durant learned to be a decent defensive player, but this guy is more defensive minded from the outset and has an offensive game. So that's why they're saying this guy is kind of like a Kevin Durant-like player who can shoot not as well as Kevin Durant, but plays better defense than Kevin Durant right from the jump. Because Kevin Durant learned that in time. He wasn't there from the jump. He was more offensive minded. So that's
he's more of a – he's physically bigger than Kevin – not taller. He's physically – his body's physically more developed than Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Even till this day. Kevin Durant's always been a very thin player.
Dude, and Kevin Durant was the one guy in the combine. I think he couldn't even lift the 200 pounds or whatever
that was
once. He couldn't even do it once.
I think it's 225. Yeah, what they?
Yeah, 225 once, dude.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah, but it hasn't hurt him at all. You know, in terms of his league presence, it hasn't hurt him at all. But you know, I think you're right. I think Cooper Flagg is going to be more of a defensive presence just because he's a bigger dude.
Yeah. All right, man. Well. Dude, back in my day, dude, when I was lifting weights, I lifted 225 50 times, brother. Imagine that. And Kevin Durant couldn't do it once. Anyway. All right, brother.
So you're going to go pick a fight with Kevin Durant? Is that what I'm hearing?
No. I'm just saying, if I was in the combine, dude, I would have showed out.
Basketball. You'd have been a 280-pound point guard.
Yeah, back then I was like that, but now I'm like 225, man. So
you'd have been the Shaq of point guards, dude.
Yeah. I haven't even tried to lift 225 since then. So because I injured myself when I did that.
Dude, 50 times is massive, bro. That's why
it hurt, dude. I think I tore my rotator because I was a pitcher in high school, and when I did it wasn't right for a long time, dude. And I tried.
What made you do 50, dude? Why did you stop at like 10?
I just wanted to do it. It's a round number, bro. I just wanted to do it. So.
You're nuts. All right.
Yeah. Anyway, bro. All right. So the last team of the South West Division of the Western Conference, the New Orleans Pelicans. So look at the offensive. I'm not the offensive rating first. So we're gonna look at they were the 14th seed. They were 21-61 record. As bad as the Sixers were from a health standpoint, these guys were just as bad from a health standpoint, right?
I agree.
So, you know, from an offensive rating standpoint, they were 26th. Defensive rating, they were 29th. Nobody saw this, man, from the beginning of the season. This team had way too much talent, you know.
Yep.
And I think when DeJounte Murray started out his, you know, playing career with the New Orleans Pelicans and getting injured almost right from the jump, that was the sign of what was to come, dude, because everybody on that team got hurt right after that, right? You had C.J. McCollum get hurt. You had Trey Murphy get hurt. You got always hurt Zion Williamson, right?
Yeah.
It was just brutal, dude. This team was just getting, you know, so that's kind of what I said as far as roster needs. They just need a better team trainer, bro, right? That's all they really need because this team has decent talent, bro, right? From a starter scoring standpoint, they were 17th. From a bench scoring standpoint, they were 22nd. You know, respectable for considering how bad their record was. It just shows that this team does have talent. As far as salary cap, they're $82.2 million over salary cap. And as far as draft day trade, I think it's unlikely. They only have one pick in the first round. And I think that they're going to go ahead and draft a center. I think Kamon Wallawatch is the guy that I think they're going to go ahead and target. I forgot about the players likely gone, but people can read that. But anyway, Kamon Wallawatch, I think he's going to be off the board when it's time for them to go ahead and pick, because I think that's who they're going to pick. And if not, then I think, you know, we already mentioned Carter Bryant. We already mentioned Derek Queen. These are guys that are big, you know, that can fill, you know, they're just filling in some voids right now, right? So, but as far as comparisons, you know, Kamon Wallawatch is more like a Miles Turner / Rudy Gobert. That's pretty good. All right. This guy's 7'2", 253 pounds. Big dude. We have Carter Bryant, who is 6'8", 216 pound comparison. We already mentioned him to TJ Warren. And then Derek Queen compares to Wendell Carter Jr. of the Orlando Magic. So 6'10", 248 pound. So, but anyway, that's what I see as far as, the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah. The only thing I want to just say is, man, the whole Zion Williams cloud, you know, his availability, like, they're not going to go anywhere until that guy is either gone or gets healthy. Like, as long as he's in this Twilight Zone scenario, they're going to hover in mediocrity. So, you know, I had an old boss.
You're saying trade them.
Well, I had an old boss that used to tell me, you know, shit or get off the pot, you know, and like at this point, you got to make a decision here, dude, with this guy. And, you know, when he is healthy, he is a handful.
Difference maker.
He is a handful. The question is, are you ever going to get him healthy for an extended period of time?
He's a bigger, more athletic Charles Barkley.
Yeah. He's a beast, dude. I would take him yesterday if I knew he was going to be healthy for 60 games a season.
No, I agree. I agree.
But I just think that, yes, they're building, but until this Zion Williamson puzzle is solved, they're going to be stuck in the middle.
Yep. I hear you, brother.
All right, moving on.
All right, brother. We got one more. This is our last division. All right, so we have 5 teams left to cover, and then we're going to go ahead and finish our pre-draft coverage. And we're at
these guys are never going to make it, Eddie. Dude, these guys
I know, dude. So wait, you know, so we're an hour and 40 minutes. You said that your daughter wants to go see a movie, bro.
She's going to kick my butt here in a minute.
But we got to do it quick, all right?
So all right, we got to go quick. I won't ask any more questions then.
No. Sorry, we're just going to race through it. But anything that you want to comment, that's fine. All right. So Oklahoma City Thunder. Now this team, dude. Dude, that's crazy. Sam Presti is doing a job. That dude should be getting Executive of the Year every freaking year, bro. All right. This guy's first. This team is first seed overall in the NBA with a 68-14 record. They have 2 first-round draft picks and then 1 second-round draft pick. As far as their analytics, they're single digits across the board, bro. They're the only team that I think – them and the Cavs are the only team that were single digits across the board. No, I think Boston, too, was that way as well. No, that Boston was not. So this team was they had – they're the third best from an offensive rating. Defensive, they were incredible at 107.61, and you can see it in the playoffs. They're at 12.72 all-time record net rating. And you can see in the playoffs, this team is just relentless from a defensive standpoint. Mark Daigneault has got this team playing like lights out every freaking night, right? As if their lives depended on it every freaking night. They're just that good, right? Now, starter scoring, they were 6th. Bench scoring, they were 18th. This, you know, for as deep as they are, that surprised me that they're only 18th, but their starters, you know, that good. I mean, you know, they do play, you know, up to 10 to 11 people deep in the regular season all the time because, you know, they're just that good deep. But as far as roster needs, dude, come on, man. What do they really need? One more veteran who has won a championship. Honestly,
I do have something to add here.
Yes.
The only thing that I would add if I'm an Oklahoma City Thunder fan.
Yes.
They have a history of not wanting to pay money.
Yeah. So pay money.
That's the only thing that would worry me. Right?
They don't want to pay Jalen Williams. They don't want to pay Chet Holmgren.
Yeah, at some point they're not going to want to pay someone. And
They're a small market team.
But I'm not saying that's what they're going to do, but that would be the only thing that would worry me. Because they have a lot of first-round picks coming up, and maybe their thought process is, oh, we can give up Jalen Williams. We'll just get another Jalen Williams.
Yeah.
Because we have a pick, right, type of scenario.
Yeah,
right? That would be the only thing that would freak me out as a Thunder fan. But if they're willing to pay these guys, dude, you're going to be in championship contention next 5 to 7 years.
Dude, and check out their salary cap, -25.4. They're one of the lowest.
You put 2 points. .4.
And draft day trade? Hell no. The only way this team comes in a draft day trade is if another team comes in there and gives them an offer they can't refuse, dude. Right? Yep. Because they have so many draft picks. They have so many young players. I think their average age of the league in the entire league, they were like 2nd as far as the youngest team in the NBA.
Yeah.
That's incredible, bro. And they're about to win their first championship, you know, in their history, you know, as Oklahoma City Thunder, because they were the Seattle Supersonics, and the Seattle Supersonics did win one in the 70s.
So, correct.
All right, so as far as players likely gone, I kind of put Aaron Wiggins in there just because for as amount of time that he gets to play on the floor, it's $10.9 million. You know, that's kind of a lot. You know, and Isaiah Joe, he plays here and there, but 12.9 is kind of big, and Sam Presti's a pretty shrewd guy. He's going to say, I can get better than that, right? So that's why I put those guys as guys that are likely gone. Free agents of target, dude. Gary Payton totally screams Oklahoma City Thunder left and right, bro.
Yep.
That dude he would fit in like a glove, no pun intended. But
yeah.
All right? Big time. Bruce Brown is another guy. Because I said one more veteran who's won a championship. And that's yep. why I picked these three guys.
Yep.
These are all veterans, and they have all won championships. These are guys that would fit like a glove in their system, right? So draft picks, they had a 15th pick. What would I have down here is Thomas Sorber out of Georgetown. We've already talked about comparisons. Kasper Strakosunas, we already talked about comparisons of him. Nolan Treorc, dude, these all are good players. And they're just – dude, any of these players is just going to just make this team even ridiculous. This team screams dynasty.
Yeah, these two picks here could be the replacements for Aaron Wiggins and Isaiah Joe.
Correct. Yeah. So then you got at number 24, we have Nick Clifford. We've mentioned him multiple times. Rashear Fleming as well. Ben Seraph, we've already mentioned him multiple times. This is the guy who is Manu Ginobili-like. All right, so then we got Chaz Lanier at the 44th pick. He's out of Tennessee. Could shoot the rock, man. Tyrese Proctor out of Duke. He's a point guard. And then Nicholas Avdalas. He's another guy out of Greece. So we raced through that one, bro, I think.
All right, moving on. All right.
Oh, that's me. I'm next.
You again. It's you again.
It's all me, man. All right. Oh, that's right. I know. Okay. All right. So Minnesota Timberwolves. These guys were the second seed. Excuse me. Were they the second seed? Yeah, they were the second seed sixth seed. Sorry, I was reading the wrong thing. Sixth seed. They were 49-33. They had just barely overtook the Warriors as a sixth seed. They have two picks, one in the first round at 17, and then one pick in the second round at 31. So as far as roster needs, I said just another scoring wing and a backup point guard. All right. This team, Anthony Edwards carries the load offensively for this team. Julius Randle did a great job to, you know, spell Karl Anthony Towns from an offensive standpoint down low, and he can't shoot the rock. Maybe not as good as Karl Anthony Towns, but he started coming on strong towards the end of the season. They just need one other guy who can spread the floor, in my opinion. That's why I put another scoring wing. A backup point guard, we all know Mike Conley is getting old, bro, right? He's at the tail end of his career. We know that Rob Dillingham was drafted last year, and, you know, he did get some playing time here and there, but I just think they need to get another point guard in the mix here. As far as their salary cap, they're 96.6 over, which is kind of towards the lower tiers of the league. And then I put them as unlikely. It's interesting because you're very positive about a bunch of draft day trades happening. I'm kind of taking the opposite. I'm on the team.
Yeah,
I'm covering.
Yeah, we're balancing out. Which is funny because you're the optimist and I'm the
pessimist. I'm the optimist usually. You're the pessimist usually, but
yeah,
it's the opposite
as we're coming around a little. Yep.
All right. So Laker, players that are likely gone, Luka Garza, I think he's, you know, he doesn't really play, bro. All right. Josh Minot, he's another one who hardly plays. But they can target to fill this another scoring wing kind of void that they need. Torian Prince, Bruce Brown, Caris LeVert. All of these guys would be perfect fits for this team. All of them, right? As far as their 17th pick, we already mentioned a lot of these guys. Nolan Treorc, Austin Newell, Cedric Cowell. And then at the 31st pick, we have Noah Pendra and then also Adu Thierro, man. So we're racing through it, man. We're doing it.
Yeah, the only thing I wanted to note on here is I found it fascinating that Kevin Durant didn't want to come here.
It's probably because he doesn't, you know, he wants all the – I don't know, man. That's interesting. You're right.
He wants to be the man.
He still wants to be the man, dude.
Yeah. So. Which, whatever. Moving on. All right, this is me. All right, the Denver Nuggets. All right, Denver Nuggets had themselves a really good season. They did fire their head coach, which at the time Eddie and I were shocked, disappointed, didn't necessarily agree with it. But, you know, their new head coach, which is the son of Rick Adelman, I forget his first name, but, you know, he actually pushed them pretty far. He pushed them farther than I thought they would get in the postseason,
yeah, I agree.
Right? They took the Oklahoma City Thunder, who both at least in my opinion, is the best team in the league, at least this year. They took them to a game seven. You know, they played really well. Aaron Gordon was hurt for most of game seven. Who knows how that might have turned out if he was a little healthier. But in terms of their rankings, very good on the offense. No surprise there. They've got the best offensive player in the league. You know, I'm not trying to belittle SGA, but in my opinion, the MVP of this year was Jokic. You know,
and our player greatness index indicated that, by the way. He punched in those numbers, And yep. Nikola Jokic barely outdid SGA, so that was a close race.
Yeah.
The PGI index definitely showed that Jokic should have been the MVP.
Correct. Correct. Right. Yeah, so they were fourth in offensive, a little lower than average on defensive. And from a net rating, I think this is wrong. Either the number's wrong or the ranking is wrong, because 3.8 would not be 29. 3.8 would be somewhere in the mid-teens. So something's wrong there. But I'm
gonna Nuggets' net rating was 3.77. They were ninth.
Ninth, right?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Ninth. So I somehow I should have had the two in there. So that's pretty good. They're in the top 10 in net rating. Starter scoring, obviously, again, no surprise, number one. They have the best offensive player, Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon. You know, they have very little bench. If it wasn't for Russell Westbrook for most of the year, they'd have no bench at all. So in terms of their bench scoring, they're one of the lower positions. You know, what do they need? They need a backup center. They've always needed a backup center, it seems like. They just need someone that can come onto the court and the plus-minus not sink to the bottom when Jokic is
doing right.
That's basically what they need, someone that can keep them afloat, you know, during those non-Jokic minutes. And they need a little bit of a better perimeter defense. They are kind of a little above average in the salary cap, in the $66 million in the hole there. I think they're highly, again, I'm staying on the positive. I think they're highly likely to have some action here going. And the reason being is they have no draft picks. I think they're going to buy into the draft. They're going to make a try. They need bench. They need bench, right? I know I didn't kind of highlight it there, but they absolutely need bench, and is through the draft. So I'm thinking they're going to do something. You know, Powell was a player that they weren't exactly super happy with. You know, he was hurt during the playoffs. I think he might be a player that they could trade for a draft pick. You know, something's got to give. They need to develop some bench, and I think they know that.
I got to tell you something real quick. I gotta tell you something, bro, real quick. This optimist Twan is throwing me way off, brother. What you've been doing, bro? What you've been smoking, man? This optimist Twan is a complete like 180 from who you are.
Don't worry, Eddie. It won't last long, bro. It won't last long. Don't worry. Blacko Kankar is a player that most likely gone, and Russell Westbrook opted out. Right? There's rumors that he's probably going to re-sign. But he did opt out. He is an unrestricted free agent at the moment.
He thought it was more money, bro. That's why he did that.
Yeah, which to me is a cause of concern if you're a Denver Nugget in the Denver Nugget front office. Yeah, you know, it's just how much more can we pay you, dude? We're tight on cash.
Exactly.
You know? And so, you know, free agents, you know, Ty Jerome's going to be pricey. He'd be an excellent backup point guard here, you know, if he considers himself a backup. I mean, he's played well enough to be considered a starter on some teams. Malik Beasley, as you mentioned, an excellent shooter. Lou Cornette could be a player as a backup center that could, you know, help keep that. And then Gary Payton, right? Gary Payton II, you know, a good bench guy, has historically been a little bit on the cheaper, not quite Russell Westbrook cheap, but, you know, has been in the like 8 to 12 million a year range, you know, so if they could afford something like that, he would do. And of course, from the draft pick, as I mentioned, they have no draft picks. So there was nothing to cover here.
Nothing to cover.
But I do think that they find their way into this draft somehow, not necessarily first round, but I think maybe into the second round.
All right.
Moving on.
All right. So now this. Let me go ahead and take this thing off. I just did that because there was room to do that. All right. So now we go to the Portland Trail Blazers. There's only two more teams. All right. So we got Portland Trail Blazers are the 11th seed, and you know, coincidentally, they have the 11th pick. They were 36-46. For the season, but as far as metrics go, you can see that they were, you know, one of the lower half teams in the NBA. Offensive rating, they were 22. Defensive rating, they're 16. You know, this is one of the teams that I kind of thought would be up and coming, Twan, against your Detroit Pistons call. And,
yes.
Their record, you know, as bad as it kind of was overall, 36-46, which is 10 games under 500, it's a step in the right direction.
I agree.
Way worse than that, right?
No, they had a good season. In my opinion, they had a good season.
Yeah, they did. I mean, and they have some decent players on that team, man. So, you know, as far as, you know, their starters, they have, you know, they have I didn't even put their starters, but I had that. That was the only team that I forgot on who the starters were. But you know, DeAndre Ayton, we shall see if he's a good fit for this team long term.
Yeah.
You know, the rest of the team, I completely forgot the rest of the team because I had it all in my notes, but I don't. But anyway.
King Kong Klingon, what do they call him? King
yeah, yeah, Donovan Klingon out of UConn. Yeah, so he was supposed to be kind of replacing, you know. But anyway, so I'll just keep going, man. So we're going to move quicker. So starter scoring at their 20th, and then bench scoring there at 16. You know, as far as needs go, bro, they have a lot of young players on the team outside of DeAndre Ayton. They have a lot of young players. So I think that they need a veteran shooter and a true point guard. Malcolm Brogdon is their point guard, right? He's a good point guard, but he's not somebody that I think is a starter anymore. He's kind of more of a bench player. So I think they need to bring a true point guard on this team. As far as salary cap, they're at $41.6 million over. I put them as unlikely. Dude, the pessimist to me is probably throwing you off too, bro. So I have them as unlikely.
Yes.
Right? As far as players likely gone, Ryan Rupert hardly plays, bro. $2.22 million. Not that much money, but he hardly plays. I think they can probably get better value elsewhere. As far as free agents to target, you know, we have Tyus Jones, DeAnthony Melton, Malik Beasley. These are three that are always coming up. It's going to be interesting to see where these guys land because I think these are, you know, especially DeAnthony Melton, Malik Beasley. They're going to be highly coveted, right? These guys, it's going to be interesting. They have the choice on where they want to go.
But if DeAnthony Melton stays healthy, he's got the most upside of.
Oh, for sure.
Of almost
for
any
sure. Point. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Warriors try and get him. Honestly, again,
I would.
I wouldn't be surprised. As far as the draft targets, we've already mentioned Carter Bryant and Derek Queen. These are guys. One of those guys that I think is easily going to fall to the Blazers. So, all right, man, we go to the last team, and that is the Utah Jazz. All right, so they were the 15th seed. They were 17-65. They have four draft picks in this draft. They have two in the first round, two in the second round. As far as their metrics go, they're almost near the bottom in every category, with offensive being the highest one. Defensive were dead last. Net rating, they were almost dead last. But as far as starter scoring and bench scoring, they were consistent at 25 for both. As far as what this roster needs, man, they have a lot of youth, but they just need more young, athletic star power who can play defense, man. And they need, of course, some vets to kind of balance the roster, right? They have, of course, Jordan Clarkson, who is a vet, you know, but I think Jordan Clarkson should be traded somebody else, man, because that guy would be coveted for just instant offense coming off the bench for some of these playoff bound teams, right? This team is in total rebuild right now. And look, 14.5 under the cap. All right. This is the best. They were number one. But I'm still kind of putting them as a draft day trade unlikely because this team is in full rebuild. And I don't think teams that are in full rebuild do draft day trades unless they do incremental improvements, right? Not huge improvements, but incremental improvements. And typically teams like this, they'll go ahead and sign free agents and go ahead and keep their draft picks, maybe trade a few of them to get better positioning for a next draft, you know, upcoming draft. But this team screams total rebuild, right? As far as players that are gone, I have John Collins, dude, $26.6 million is a lot. He's a good player, though.
I think that's the tail end of his Houston contract, right, if I'm not mistaken?
John Collins played for Houston. It was the Hawks. Hawks.
Yep.
So, I just think that, you know, he's a good player, but I think that, you know, he could be dangled to other teams and other teams would probably take on that contract and kind of free it up for the
team. I think he's at the end of his contract. I think here he's a free agent, I think. So.
Oh, is he? Okay. That's why I'm putting, he's likely gone. So, Kenyon Martin, another one who's gone. And then, Sviatoslav Mikhailik is another guy that I have.
Good luck with that. Bless you. Yeah.
That's not bad, huh? I know.
Pretty good.
So as far as free agents to target, I think Miles Turner, another guy's going to keep coming up, but I don't think Miles Turner's going to want to go there, right?
No.
Miles Turner, he's experienced the playoffs, he's experienced the finals, he's going to want to experience it again. So I don't think he's going to land here, but I'm just saying that this is a free agent that I think the Jazz would probably target. Gary Payton is another guy who I think they're going to try and target to just incremental improvement over time. Trendon Wofford is the guy that you brought up out of the Brooklyn Nets. He's another guy that I think would be a good incremental improvement player
I agree.
And then Amir Coffey out of the Clippers. He's another guy that I think would be another good player to target. So as far as the draft picks, and I think, you know, Ace Bailey, you know, if he doesn't get picked at number two, Or number three, you know, I think he, you know, he's easily some that they're going to target at number five. Kaman Malawach, that's a reach, but I think that they would probably do that to compliment your boy, the guy out of Duke.
Filipowski.
They'd have a total Duke front court, right, with Malawach and Filipowski. Then you have Jeremiah Fears out of Oklahoma at number five. I think that's another guy that they would target if any of these other two aforementioned players are gone. At the number 21st pick, we've already mentioned a lot of these guys are the same names that keep coming up. Clifford, Rashear Fleming, Austin Newell. You know, I haven't seen many of these guys play, you know, in all complete honesty, because a lot of these players didn't really play in the tournament. And that's kind of when I start really watching college basketball and maybe some of the conference tournaments I watch sometimes. But, you know, a lot of these players, we're just kind of learning about them through reading and research, preparing for this, right? So I've seen, you know, going into the 53rd, I've seen Chaz Lanier play. He can shoot. I've seen him. Tyrese Proctor, I've seen him because he was also in the tournament. Caleb Love, another guy that I've seen because Arizona was in the tournament. I've seen him play. Nick Clifford, I saw at a Colorado State. He was there too. So, you know, a lot of these guys, the knowledge that we get, because in reality, man, it's going to be hard to watch all of these players really, you know, all the, you know, the footage, the tape. It's just tough, right? We can only go by what other people's research tells us how these guys look, right? So these are why we kind of line these up based on what the needs of the roster are. That's kind of how we went about doing this whole pre-draft preview show for the last 2 weeks. But that's it, man.
Yeah.
We covered all 30 teams in the last 2 weeks to go ahead and prepare you, our audience, for the upcoming draft that's coming here next Wednesday at 5 p.m. We're going to be here live. More than likely, it's going to be me and Twan, the Me and Twan show, the pessimist and the optimist, where the optimist is Twan now, which is throwing me
off. Yeah, no, I'll get back. Don't get excited. Bro. I'll be back.
But I will go ahead and update the ticker down here because I definitely want to see if we're going to be right because you're predicting a lot of trades in this upcoming draft. I'm predicting that there's going to be not a lot, but, you know, some, you know, but you're definitely very, you know, leaning in on that, bro. But anyway, so what we did, we covered the finals. You know, we think that, you know, tomorrow will be the game six. And I think we all think because of Tyrese Halliburton's injury that we think the Thunder are going to take it. It's unfortunate that happened because this series was shaping up to be a really good series that's going to possibly go to game seven. And, you know, Tyrese Halliburton being kind of the heart and soul of that Pacers team. It's unfortunate, man. It sucks, you know, because it's the audience.
As an NBA fan, it stinks, you know.
It stinks, man. We suffer, the fans suffer. The NBA, you know, I think they were very surprised that this finals came out to be the way it was. But, you know, I think in the end, we're going to see the crowning of the Oklahoma City Thunder, their first NBA championship tomorrow. And then I think we're going to see Shai Gilgeous-Alexander be this MVP. And rightfully so, the first time, I think, in a while that I think when was the last time we saw finals MVP and an MVP of the season be in the same year? I don't know, but that's
LeBron maybe,
but I have to go back and think about it. But anyway, so we covered the playoffs. We also covered Joker did it. So that's maybe like 3 years ago that he did it. So, but we also covered the trade that happened, you know, before the playoffs started. And that's Orlando Magic having a trade with the Memphis Grizzlies, where now Desmond Bane is now part of the Orlando Magic, which, you know, I call that was going to be a potential, you know, trade that could happen at draft day, but it happened before the draft. And then we talked about the Lakers being sold, right?
Yeah.
You know, for $10 billion. And, you know, Jeannie Buss still having the governor kind of role for the Lakers for the next unforeseeable future, but she's going to still be doing it. So, and then we just covered all the other 15 teams. We covered the Atlantic Division of the Eastern Conference, the Southwest Division of the Western Conference, as well as the Northwest Division of the Western Conference. And we went ahead and just laid it out for each of these teams in preparation for the draft that's coming up next week. So we're going to go ahead and, you know, be here again next week, not at 6 p.m. Pacific. We're going to be here at 5 p.m. Pacific. We're going to be here for the entire show. So that's going to be roughly about 4 hours, which is halfway where we are at this show. But anyway, I'm Eddie Aparicio. This is Anthony Twan Corral. We're also known as the Cisco Kids. You can find us here at grumblingsmedia.com. You can also find us on any popular podcast outlet you can think of, such as Spotify, Google, Pandora, Apple, YouTube, Facebook, X, you name it, you can find us. Just go ahead and type up gremlinsmedia.com. We're here live, and we're here live for a reason, because we want to hear from you. So until then, until next week, enjoy the rest of the week. Enjoy the finals tomorrow, and then we'll go ahead and see you next week. Have a good rest of the week.
Thanks, everyone.